Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, class is back in session. JT here, along with my best bud, Jeff Machado. Jeffrey, how are you?
Good, how are you, Justin?
Good, it's episode 14 of Jeff Learns Wrestling. Are you excited?
I am extremely excited.
Okay, it hasn't been a while. I always say it's been a while. It's been like just about a month. That's pretty good for us.
Yeah, I thought it was 2 months, but it's just been a very eventful month. So
we'll talk about that in a minute. It's also our one-year anniversary. May 7th last year is when we did episode number one.
Happy anniversary, buddy.
You too, bud. So we're actually not too bad. That's like a little over one a month, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's because we did a couple every 2 weeks for a while.
Right.
And then we had a couple big
like
gaps.
Yeah.
So
that's not bad. It's more than we thought. So that's good. It's actually almost a year to the day of our episode two. So there you go. So we did one and two pretty close together. But anyway, yeah, so a lot's happened. Our last episode, we didn't talk wrestling. We talked beer pong tournament.
Is this my longest running podcast? Was Richard the Mailman on for more than a year?
Yeah, definitely. Oh. You did a lot of episodes of that, didn't you? Well, then you left, you came back, I don't know.
I guess we did Saul, too.
Yeah. Well, then you did the Jersey Shore stuff. I don't know if you count that as one continuous
run. Years are so blurry.
Yeah. Well, blur no more for you. We'll talk about it. So, last episode, we did not talk wrestling. We talked some nostalgia, because you didn't watch the show to prep in time. And we kind of glossed over that. But there are reasons, and there's been reasons for our spotty recording schedule, which hopefully will become a little more regularized. And part of that's on me. I got a lot going on. It's hard for me to schedule the night to get you over here sometimes. But you're here now. So what's been going on in your world over the past month and a half or so?
Well, we had a long layoff after I got hit by the car.
Yeah.
And I thought we'd be right about to the time to get into the swing and do a bunch more episodes and get into the 90s. But turns out something even worse than getting hit by a car happened. Me and my fiance are no longer getting married, which is pretty terrible.
You're no longer even dating.
Does anybody go from fiance to just dating?
Well, see, I mean, you're just saying you're not getting married. You should, like, it's not like she said, I'm not ready
right,
to get married.
My fiance dumped me.
There you go. That's a full disclosure. That's
is
all.
That a better, that's more clear, okay?
Yeah.
I got dumped hardcore by a woman who said that I could have sex with her for the rest of my life. So, yeah, it's kind of hard, but I wasn't really in the state to, you know, watch wrestling and have my energy into it and take proper notes and things like that. It was more like, wow, what's my life going to be like now? And, you know, really hardcore emotional stuff, but I'm back to kind of semi-normal. And apart from just that news, I don't mean to depress all you guys out there, but, I'll be okay. We're going to work through this together, me and Justin.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just like a very monumental episode because, you know, this is like one of those episodes that everyone always remembers. Like,
right.
Like the Seinfeld contest episode or like Who Shot JR or like the
Not me.
Not this JR, but the Dallas JR.
Or Jim Ross.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast sober.
Even all the Richard and the Mailman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's why there is no more Richard and the Mailman,
right.
Basically.
Yeah, because you were drunk.
So I got drunk because I felt funnier when I was drunk. That might not be true.
Right.
It might have just been a thing I was using as an excuse. But, you know, I'm trying to get healthy. I'm trying to lose a lot of weight. And you can't really do that while drinking. So we're going to see if I sound any different today. Maybe I'll actually listen to this episode. Because
right.
I never actually listened to one of my own podcasts before because I was too nervous about what I sounded like drunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And maybe Richard the Mailman can come back because it's a lot harder to get pissed off at me when I'm sober. You know?
I will co-sign on that.
Yeah.
As we explored in episode 13 with the beer pong tournament.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't happen if we're not drinking.
Maybe I'm so great as a non-drinking guy that I can convince Josh to move back to the East Coast.
Probably not. Because I think I'm a pretty great sober guy and I can't do it. Maybe you can. Maybe you can.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah. So anyway, well, it's good to have you here. I think your lifestyle changes are a positive for you. I think the no drinking and the eating we've been talking about as listeners of the Wrestling Warzone podcast with me and Chad Campbell. I'm doing the intermittent fasting. We talked about that. Maybe get you on that routine. It's worked well for me. I've seen some noticeable deficits already, so.
Yeah, I've already renamed it the 8-16 diet.
There you go.
So we're going to have future 8-16 segments just to compare.
Very good.
How we're doing with
that.
It's
a PCBN health kick. Everyone's on it right now, so welcome to that. All right, so anything else going on personally? So you're working through it. You're feeling all right. You're still out of work, though.
Still out of work. My case is, like, really annoying. I'm not sure if I picked the best lawyer. Apparently, my trial was should've a couple days
Saul.
Ago. I should have called Saul, yeah. Everyone keeps telling me I should have called the heavy hitter, but he doesn't even take workman's comp. That would have been perfectly ironic, though, if I did call him. But
you know why? Because he's not Brian fucking Cuna. That's why.
Not fucking Cuna. Cuna's way better. But, yeah, so my trial happened, and I didn't even know. The city of Providence never got a hold of me to tell me that I had to show up for trial. So the lady pled innocent, and they dismissed the trial. But then this miracle inspector guy was there, and he's like, no, wait, I got a hold of a witness. So I wasn't at the trial, but one of my witnesses, one of the people in the cars that saw me get hit, showed up and testified to the appellate judge. So the lady was found guilty, and now everything's fine. But it's just really frustrating because I –
Well, you would have liked to be there. I mean, that's a big moment.
Yeah, I wanted
they
to have
you of it.
I wanted to have my wheelchair.
You should
wheelchair.
Sue them now.
I know. I'm going to sue them. I'm going to sue the ER because they didn't give me a CAT scan. I'm suing everybody. Like, I wanted my moment of being wheeled down the aisle in a right. wheelchair with my leg up and my neck thing and take off my shirt and look at this grotesque bump on my shoulder.
Right.
No woman will ever love me again. My fiance
true.
Dumped
it's
me.
Yeah, you have a built-in story.
I was dumped because my shoulder looks fucked.
Well, but you could wheel it back that you were dumped because... And I don't know if you want to dig into the details, but partially because you were not doing much because you were laying around rehabbing.
Yes, she never would have noticed how little I did if I had not gotten hit by the car. So that entitles me to compensation.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Yeah, well, so we'll see how that goes. I really just want to go back to work, but I'm having knee surgery now. I've never had surgery before. It's kind of scary. Might not play basketball again.
You'll play again.
Can't play golf anytime soon.
It's funny because people hearing this are going to think like you're a real fucking walking mess, but it really just began over the last like, I mean, you've always kind of been a mess, but it was a well hidden, like you didn't have this much calamity.
I was a functional mess.
Right.
You know, I was kind
besides of, getting thrown through the window.
Yeah. The window thing. I'll tell that story someday. Not today though.
No, we got too much today. All right.
Also, we might also touch on some Breaking Bad because
Should we do that now?
All right, let's hear it. I am so jealous. You know, we've already done the podcast. Everybody knows about my Breaking Bad opinions and passions, but you've been plowing through it, and you're on season what? Like, you're in the last season now, right?
Yeah. So the one I started. All right. So anyone who knows me knows I'm not a fan of anything scary. Like
scary.
Anything scary. I don't know.
Everything
like,
has to be funny.
Yeah.
Or cute.
I'm a fan of comedy, rom com. Like whatever. But I am not a fan of horror. Like, I will never touch horror. And I'm, like, fringe...
Moana, yes. Godfather, no.
Right. I'm, like, fringe, like, action guy. Like I can kind of get into some action stuff, but, like, thriller kind of thing, I've just never really been my bag. But I've matured a bit. I infamously asked on an episode last year, like, if Stranger Things would scare me or if I should watch it, and I watched it. So I feel like that was my breakthrough.
A show about children in the 80s.
Right.
Actually, I'm joking, but I wouldn't watch it.
No,
I don't want that.
But so my key is I watch this stuff at the gym, so it's my cardio watching, and I feel like in that atmosphere you can't really be scared because it's bright, there's people all around you.
You're also intimidated by like other tough guys.
No,
so even
not
if
at the
you would force yourself to not be scared.
But at the Y, there's not that many tough guys. I'm more likely to have like an old man farting next to me than. There's so many naked men in the locker room at the Y. They love it. I mean, you walk in there and it's like a nudist colony. It's absurd.
It's their escape to not worry about like their closet homosexuality. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is where I finally get to just be naked around other guys.
Finally get to show my penis off. It's weird.
Just go for it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. It doesn't bother me, but it's like I walk in there just to go take a piss, and it's just like, you know, penises.
They're not even on their way to somewhere. They're just walking around in
circles.
Yeah,
they're just walking in circles with their dicks out talking to each other. It's odd.
Hanging out.
So anyway, so I watch this stuff at the Y, so it keeps me from being scared. But so I had always not gone into Breaking Bad, because I kind of figured there's probably just enough, like, killing and blood that I probably wouldn't be into it. But I feel like I've kind of crossed the threshold of what I can now tolerate as a human being. I'll never be into gore for the sake of gore. Like, I will never be a horror fan, because I don't like that shit. And I think I've just gotten more... I've gotten over a lot of Catholic guilt I had. I've gotten over a lot of, like, just fear in general. Like, I feel like I've become a tougher human being as of late. So I feel, in general, this stuff doesn't linger with me like it used to. If I saw something, like, I don't fear it. You know what I mean? Like I used to. So
I mean, it's weird you say Catholic guilt. I don't think this is a non-Christian show. I think it has very Christian lessons.
But I'm talking about the things I've eliminated in my life. Like, okay. I've gotten over part of kind of toughening up and being more self-assured comes with the eradication of a Catholic guilt thing, right? So I don't feel as bad about things I do.
Right, it's not directly related to not watching violent shows. I see.
Right, but it is directly related to Walter White, who I've become very synonymous with in my mind. like I feel like as he started to like kind of just not give a fuck, like I've kind of gotten like that in my life too, more and more.
Yeah.
So anyway, you had always talked about it, and Josh and I knew about it. Don talks about it, and I somehow never get spoiled. Like I don't know what's coming. Somehow I've avoided all spoilers on this thing, even though I like edited and produced a podcast that you and Josh did on this season.
Well, the problem with a spoiler is spoilers are most effective when you are at a certain point,
right,
and then the next point gets ruined.
Right.
If you have no idea what any of these people are or what they look like, and
true,
then it's just not going to soak
right
into your brain.
Right. So I'd never seen it. I was looking for something to watch. I finished Stranger Things. I was trying to do South Park because I never watched them all, and I kind of wanted
so
to.
Many. Oh my god!
But and I was starting, but I'm like, it wasn't keeping my attention at the gym. Like I need something to really get engrossed in to make the hour go by.
If you're gonna binge South Park, you need a South Park guide. You can't watch them all.
Right.
Like you need to watch the really good ones.
I was trying to watch them all, but I got to the end of the first season almost, and those are the ones I had seen because I only watched like season one in college or whatever. So I'm like, I need something better than this. I'm going to just finally try Breaking Bad. I don't know what made it click in my mind to finally try it. And yeah, after the first one, I was like, okay, I can do this. And I got hooked pretty quick. And I've been updating you and Josh. I found out Aaron George is a diehard fan, so we've been talking to him too. And he mentally can't handle the fact that I don't like continue to binge. And I feel like it's a pride point now that I only watch in certain situations, either at the gym or if I'm flying somewhere for work. I'll download some to my iPad and watch them on the plane to make the time go by. Like, I do not watch any episodes at home.
Most binge watchers will justify themselves by saying, I don't want this to ruin my life for as long as possible.
Right.
So I'm just going to watch it for 24 hours in a row.
And get it done.
Just get it over with. So I'm proud of you that you can avoid that kind of thing.
I mean, maybe I would if my life was different. Like, I don't have a ton of time to like just sit and binge it. And my wife's not watching with me. So, and then when she goes to bed, as you know, I do multiple podcasts. So a lot of my time at night is either recording podcasts or watching stuff for the podcasts. Or sports or whatever else is on. So I have very little time like at night, like to say, okay, I'm going to do a Breaking Bad night. And my children, my son particularly, gets up very early. So I can't say, all right, fuck it. I'm staying up till 4 tonight and just going to blow out Breaking Bad.
I think it's great that you watch it while you're working out. If only there were enough shows as good as Breaking Bad.
Right.
To cover enough hours for the rest of your life that you could just work out. Like, yeah, you always have incentive to work out.
Right. And I try and go as much as I can because I want to watch it. But it's already making me nervous because I know I'm almost done. So I've stayed real spoiler-free, and I guess we should label the spoiler section. If anyone else has not watched Breaking Bad that's going to watch it, 13 and a half minutes into this thing, you may want to move ahead. I'm halfway through. And so this is the other thing, too. I don't watch just an episode at the gym. With the way my workout, like, I go for about 50 to 55 minutes on the elliptical, so it's longer than an episode. And at first, I was just doing one and then turning it off. But I'm like, eh, let me just start the next one. So now
it's like a book.
Right.
You know.
But the great thing about Breaking Bad is it's not episodic. It's like a giant story. So, like, when Aaron was like, how can you not watch the next one or start one? I'm like, well, it's one big story to me. It's not like, oh, episode 8 is different from episodes. It's just the story just continues. So, whether it almost doesn't matter that it's another episode because
yeah,
I'm not watching it episodically. I'm watching it as one giant long, it's almost like a giant movie to me.
It's crazy. They managed to pull off a story that is so interesting,
mm-hmm,
that they don't need, like, a weekly cliffhanger.
Right.
Literally everything that happens is a cliffhanger.
Right.
So wherever they ended the episode would be a cliffhanger because the next scene is also important.
Right. And it happens immediately after where we left off every time.
Yeah.
So there's no jumping or anything. So, you know, like, so today I left off in the middle of episode 9 of season 5, which I believe was the first episode after they returned from the hiatus that they took, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of episode 8, and again, spoilers, at the end of episode 8, Hank finally, the light bulb goes off while he's taking a shit that Walt made Heisenberg.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, can I ask you this? So I was asking Don this earlier, and I didn't really get a great answer. So he pieces it together. So Walt forged the signature because he notices the R's are different, right? Is that what makes him realize it? Well, he sees the WW, but then he goes home and he's comparing the two, the writing in the notebook and then the writing in the book. And he's like looking at it and the R is slightly different. Is that because Walt forged the one in the Walt Whitman book that he had?
No.
Oh.
They're both from Gale.
So why is the R different, Trigorum? Because that's what he stops on.
I don't think he... I think you're... It might be just being... I'll have to watch it again.
Okay.
It might just be like an unintentional thing.
Okay.
I think it just... Because he had seen it, made the joke like, oh, maybe you're...
Right, right.
I think it just occurred to him, oh, he was... I was actually right. It was... What are the odds of that?
Okay. I didn't know if Walt had written that to like throw him off the scent or something. It was weird. So anyway... So my point is I've stayed spoiler free. So I do not know what happens at the end of this show in the next however many episodes.
Yes, please don't comment and say, oh, I can't wait till you get to the part when ...
Right. I will kill you. But the funny thing is a week ago or two, I was watching The Americans. And after every episode of The Americans, I read Alan Sepinwall's recap because he's like one of my favorite. He's one of like my favorite TV writers or whatever. So I always read his recaps. And in it, he compares it to Breaking Bad. And what's going on in The Americans right now, there's a story that's comparable to Hank finding out. And I saw Alan put that in the fucking story that Hank...
Oh, right? Man.
But I'm like, all right, I'm not too upset.
I mean, you knew it was going to happen.
I'm anyway. Like, the DA character would not exist if he wasn't going to find out in the end.
He was either going to find out or get killed. Right. So.
And he hasn't gotten killed to this point. So I'm like, he's going to find out. So I was okay. And then I saw a tweet like 2 days later where someone made a joke because the actor behind Hank made a tweet that someone said was like dumb. It was like a dumb, like kind of out of touch tweet. And someone said like, no wonder why it took you so long to figure out your brother-in-law was Heisenberg. And it was funny, but I'm like, damn it, I hadn't seen the episode yet. So then I got hit twice in a week like with that spoiler. But I was like, whatever. As long as I don't know how it ends, I'm happy.
Yeah, you got to hurry up and watch because now every little tiny spoiler is just going to be immediately absorbed into your brain.
Right, and shit, like, I think, so this goes to your point earlier. If you're not aware of everything, you don't really pick up on it. But now that I know everything, if I catch something, I might have scrolled past it before, and now it's catching my eye. So anyway.
I wish we could do, like, a live viewing, kind of like we did with the Floyd Mayweather Big Show fight.
Watch that.
Just watch that together. I'd just be looking at you like...
Well, so Don is a diehard. He had watched it like you and Josh did and Aaron. And he told me tonight, he's like, we should watch the finale together. So if you want to come over and you guys want to watch me watch the finale, I will not watch it at the gym. We can watch it here. And then we can do like a reaction after.
Well, you know Don better than I do. If he's the kind of guy that will say, this part is so good. Or
no, he won't. He will sit quietly because he wants to.
Absolute silence. Yeah. Absolute silence. No, he will. Then I'll come because I can't be there.
No.
If anyone ruins anything.
No, he is like the king of that. He will sit quietly and let me take it in. He
all
right,
good.
So I think you guys watching me watch the last episode. Is the last episode that great?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we can try and set that up and then we can talk about it.
There's only like what? You only got what, 8-9 episodes left?
Yeah, there's not many.
There's so much. Like I can't even.
Okay.
Oh, you're so lucky. I'm so happy for you, bro.
Thanks, man. I'm already like
I wish
sad.
I could take my pain and just like take some of your happiness from you.
Well, maybe if you watch that episode with me, we can
Yeah, totally. That could like balance it out.
All right, we'll watch it here in the basement. You and Don sitting next to me. Watching me sweat through the final episode.
We could Skype Josh in, too.
Yeah, all right. There we go. We'll all be there. You can watch me nervously watch. So I'm already, like, sad that I'm almost done. But you've talked me into Better Call Saul, as has Chad. Now, Don hasn't watched that. And he said, like, what I told Aaron is we should watch it at the same time. So he's going to try and maybe sync up with me when
so
I start watching
Aaron
it.
Didn't watch it. What? Like, and I talked briefly to him, like, asking why. And he's like, oh, I don't think... I was done with the characters, whatever. Why didn't Don watch it?
I think he was just like on his backlog. Like, I think he just hasn't gotten to it, but he wants to watch it. So I didn't have to convince him to watch it. I just said, I'm going to watch it next because you and Chad talked very highly of it. He said he actually likes it better than Breaking Bad.
It's a great show. It's not the same thing. It's not a continuation. Right. It's not like a cheesy hamming up to the fans prequel. It's like its own thing.
Right.
And like, obviously it's better if you have watched Breaking Bad, but it's like a great show by itself.
So can I ask you one thing? I've really been wondering this, and Don confirmed for me, and I told him if it's a major spoiler not to tell me, but he confirmed for me that we don't find this out in Breaking Bad, and he hasn't watched Saul, so he couldn't tell me. Do we find out Gus's background at all?
His background?
Because, like, you know how they always mention, like, he was something in Chile before he came to America? Because, like, in the scene where they flash back to when he first met whoever the fuck, what's his name?
The Don?
Yeah, when they him and his partner go, they kill the partner.
His brother gets killed.
Right, they let Gus live because they say, we know if you weren't who you were, you would be dead. And they always reference like his past. Like Mike would always bring up, like, if I couldn't find who you were, like, nobody can or whatever, in Chile. Do we find out anything about, like, before he gets to that position?
I don't even want to say if Gus is in Breaking Bad. I mean, Better Call Saul.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
So we'll find out together, I guess.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, it's tough because we're talking about stuff that we've both seen, but at the same time, like, you and I are on different levels, and the listeners are on different levels.
I know.
We have to plan something. Like, if you want to have a Breaking Bad segment, we'll go, like, let's go to your highlights from season one, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Now we know where you are, so that's, like, the intro.
Okay.
Justin is on
I'm trying to ask some questions.
Mid-season five.
The one thing I didn't like, I did not like Walt killing Mike. I thought that was very against character. And it was the first time, I think it's the first time where I was against Walt. I've pretty much been with Walt through all the whole series. The first time I was like, fuck you, Walt.
I am a hashtag Team Jesse. So
right.
I think Josh and I might have touched on this, but I've kind of always been against Walt since him and Jesse like stopped being friends.
Mm-hmm.
Since he got to the whole...
Yeah, oh yeah. There's Walt, if you watch back, like Walt is the catalyst for all of their fights.
Yeah.
He's always a dick to Jesse. And
the first season or two, they had that whole father-son thing,
mm-hmm.
and I thought like they could fight, but like with that family type thing. But now it's just like he hates Jesse, and he's so mean to Jesse, and it just ruined it for me for the rest. And now I'm just like, I'm watching the show to see what happens to Jesse, basically.
Right.
So yeah, when he kills Mike, I always kind of thought that he would kill Mike because mm-hmm. Mike is
he's a big trigger for him.
Yeah, so, but I just hated how it happened. It was so stupid. Like, oh, he has the gun now. He walks back to the car. It's like, come on, he's like the smartest man in the world. He deserves better than that. Like, something else could have happened.
Well, maybe they figured that's the only way Mike would realistically die, because he escapes everything. It would just be Walt walking up to him, basically shooting him in the car. I mean, that's, I guess if you look at it that way. But no, it's like any show. It's funny because it's such a smart show, but it's like any show where so much could be solved if the characters just actually talk to each other. You know, like Walt and Jesse have so many misunderstandings that they just don't fucking listen to each other when they're trying to tell each other things. It's a very Brandon Dillon relationship, the two of them.
Yeah, my relationship was very Walt and Jesse. It's just that we were both Walt and Jesse on different dates. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's even our relationship.
Oh, no. I don't know who you and I would be in terms of Breaking Bad relationships. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah.
For a long time.
So anyway, those are my main thoughts. I've loved the journey. I'm sad already. I'm going to the gym two more times this
week. I've got it. You're Jesse, I'm Badger.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because I can slack back, but I got enough motivation to keep chugging along. You're very Badger.
I would go to jail for you, but I'd also probably flip on you really quick, so you have to get me out of there.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get raped.
Fair enough. I think you'd be into it.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm
sure it'll happen someday.
It's funny, because the Badger scenes with him and Skinny Pete are like, I find them funny, but I like today... They do the one where they're talking about like the Star Trek fan fiction that he's writing, and Jesse like storms out of the house or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm listening to it. I'm like, this is funny. I'm enjoying it. But I get so anxious to end the fucking scene to get to something that matters. You know what I mean? It's just like, it actually bothers me, because I'm like, they're just wasting my fucking time right now. But it's funny. Like, I get why they're doing it. Like, because they're trying to show Jesse going crazy and, you know, whatever. And he's like back into
the
cycle.
He's not comfortable in the normal things that happen during life.
Yeah. So like he's done with it, you know. Like he's progressed through that every time. Like he's grown a lot, and he's got the conscience too. Because anytime a kid is murdered, he like snaps and whatever. So, so anyway, that's my Breaking Bad thoughts. I'm depressed that I'm nearing it, but I'm working out at least two more times this weekend while my wife's away, so I am going to at least get through probably two more episodes by the end of the weekend.
Well, don't be too sad, because by the time you finish Breaking Bad and then seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Saul, season 4 is going to come out. I think it comes out in like September or something.
Okay, so I'll have 4 full seasons of Saul to get through, but before I get to Saul, I got to catch up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Silicon Valley, so I got to burn through those quick, but those are a half hour, so I can bang out 2 at a time in a workout. So I'll get through those fast, and then I'll get to Saul after that.
It's a good plan.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, I'm behind. I think I get to the midway point of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I'm glad, by the way, is surviving. Are you excited about that? I know you're a fan.
Yeah, they had kind of a letdown in season 5, but this season's going pretty good, I think.
Yeah. Well, it got a little bit more, like, serious and soapy, which was good. You know, they mixed it up. Like, it was
more
serialized.
Yeah, they put two of the
serialized.
Main characters together, and it was like, come on.
So, let's tie this to wrestling, and then we'll get into our topic tonight. So, Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled from Fox, picked up by NBC. Last Man on Earth got canceled by Fox. I was very sad. I don't know if you watched that, but it's pretty good. And The Mick got canceled. That was another show. So, like, they hit me hard. Like, three shows on Fox that I watch all got canceled. And a couple weeks later, Fox won the bid for SmackDown, paying billions of dollars to WWE.
Oh, so they're just making room for wrestling.
Which is funny, because I'm a diehard wrestling fan, and all my shows got canceled, but it was at the expense so they could bring wrestling to Fox. So SmackDown is going to be live on Friday nights on Fox, which is a huge deal, because they never have, like, I mean, this is like a major over-the-air network that they're going to have a regular weekly program on, which they have not had. I mean, SmackDown used to be on over-the-air, but it was on the CW.
So, like, all the biggest WWE stars are going to be on live Fox TV on Fridays?
Which is crazy.
That's cool.
So, it kind of brings us full circle, not because of the TV discussion, but also because we're talking WrestleMania 4 tonight, and you went back to watch the main event to prep for it again. We had already talked about that a few episodes ago. The main event was like the first, it wasn't the first, but it was like the first, like, yeah, I guess it was the first primetime WWF special, first primetime wrestling special in like 30 years or whatever. And it got like a monster rating. It was a huge deal. So it's kind of full circle. That was on a Friday night on NBC, 8 o'clock, and that's kind of where we're going now at SmackDown. So it was kind of fitting timing, I thought.
So, who would have known that 30 years later, still working out.
There you go.
That said on the network thing that, the app there, it was the Hogan Andre match was the highest rated show ever. Is that still true?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think it's the highest rated match ever that they've had. Hmm. Because nothing, I mean, they have never really been on a national audience like that again. Like, anything they have on cable wouldn't touch that anyway. So,
like the twin referees, that's number one.
That's it.
Okay.
How much did he pay for the plastic surgery?
Because it's more likely that he got plastic surgery and there's not twins or anything.
All right, so it is WrestleMania 4. And again, Jeff, I guess this is a night of kind of full circle. We started this show a year ago, we mentioned, in May of 2017. And what was the first thing we covered?
Wasn't it the DiBiase Savage match?
The Mega Powers. We started at WrestleMania 4. So here we are a year later. You've watched a bunch more now. We went back. We started over from 85. So we've already touched on parts of WrestleMania 4 in episode 1, but I feel like you've come quite a far, you know, quite a way as a wrestling fan. So I'll be interested in your take. Now, this time you actually watched the whole show. I think you had only watched maybe parts a year ago. So I know leading up to, so we're going to talk about WrestleMania 4 tonight. That's our main topic, half hour in, but we're there. So what did you end up rewatching anything to prep for it? I knew you had planned to maybe watch a couple things, but.
Well, I was going to watch the primetime wrestlings leading up to it, but I never really got to it. I did watch the main event that was in between the Hogan-Andre fight, and that was there was just a bunch of...
Oh, the Saturday's main event, you mean?
The Saturday main event, okay. Yeah.
So that was Savage DiBiase on that as well.
Yeah, Savage DiBiase, Race Hogan.
Right. What did you think of Race Hogan as a race hater?
I actually thought he was kind of a trooper because, you know, he goes in the ring first, and I'm like, that guy's going to fight Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Like, it was like the little mouse getting put in the cage for the snake. You're like, ugh, I don't want to – how are they even going to fight? Like, Hogan comes in. He's, like, twice the size of him. He's like, oh, I'm afraid of you. But, yeah, he took a lot of punches, that's for sure.
So that – when he falls to the table, he ended up getting seriously hurt.
Yeah, so he fell over and he blasted his knees on that table. Was it supposed to break?
Yeah, I don't know. They've never really done table stuff before. But he ended up fucked up like his kidney or his stomach or something. He had some like major injury. Stomach. He ends up being out for a while. I think it was his stomach he fucked up. But
oh, that must have been all right. So he actually hits the table twice.
Yeah, when he goes on his stomach through it, that's when he fucked himself up his stomach. Yeah,
yeah, because it broke like in a V. I thought maybe it was supposed to give all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not natural. not supposed to break like that.
So you have a little extra respect for the king now after watching that match?
Yeah. I felt like it was kind of a swan song, though. Yeah. It's like, hey, you're not the king anymore. We're not going to talk about anybody bowing to you. You just got creamed. Thanks for the table memories.
Correct. All right, anything else from that you watch that you want to talk about before we get to WrestleMania?
It was just like the hulking up, you know, every time it just gets me.
Yeah.
You think it's, I'm like, all right, he's going to Hulk up, but then he does it. I'm like, yeah.
There he comes.
I don't know what it is. I was thinking to myself, he's like, you know, in the middle of the ring doing his posing thing. And I wondered, has anyone ever felt this good about themselves ever? Because if you think about it,
yeah,
like an actor, you know, they're artists, they're like dark people. They don't like the paparazzi being around them. Or like Jordan, he just wanted to play basketball, you know, and he didn't really like all the talking to the media. But Hogan is literally standing on a stage while people cheer for him,
yeah,
just being himself.
That was, I mean, WrestleMania 3, 90,000 people were cheering for him.
Yeah, he must have been like the most popular person ever at that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, man, he must feel so good. He must be going, man, I'm Terry, and I'm doing good. I made my mom proud.
Yeah.
And I'll just never feel like that.
Well, you may when you listen back to this podcast.
It's kind of sad. I mean, I could do as many steroids as I want, and I'll never be able to pick up a 500-pound man.
That's true.
But I'm still going to try the steroids.
Okay.
I'm going to see, how much do you weigh? I could probably pick you up.
You think you could pick me up?
Not right now, but...
Okay. If you do steroids?
After a few months.
All right. So anything else on Saturday's main event you want to cover?
Not really. You got DiBiase Savage. That was like a disqualification, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of prepping for it.
My favorite part of this match was that Virgil actually like hit somebody, which I think was the first time I ever saw Virgil hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me, I was like, all right, Virgil, you're actually being a bodyguard.
There you go. Guarding the body.
Let's see. Beefcake Hammer. I don't really. It was. I don't know if there's a backstory to that.
Yeah, they were tag team champions. Remember, they were the Dream Team.
Oh, and then they turned on each other.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3. Remember, they left him in the ring. Valentine left with Dino Bravo, and they left Barber Beefcake in the ring, and then he ended up becoming the Barber. So.
Yeah, Beefcake's pants. I don't know if I mentioned this before. That's another thing about being sober. I'm going to remember things I said because people keep telling me I already said that, like I repeated myself. But I don't know. You know, I was drinking. But his pants have like this lingerie side going up to the butt.
Yeah.
And like, what is his deal? Is he like a metrosexual?
He's like, he's from San Francisco.
Stuff. Yeah, but
no, I think
if you
was...
took, if you, because you're watching on TV, you can't really tell how big the guy is. He's a huge guy, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you just cropped the top half of his body and put like a stripper on there.
Right.
You'd be like, oh, look at.
Well, I think he's supposed to be like a Chippendale kind of guy. Like a beefcake. Because when he first comes in as a heel, like at the very beginning.
Oh, so like
he's
a stripper like, for women.
Yeah. Right, so like sense. He's wearing the bow tie and it kind of became a barber thing, but he kind of kept the beefcake look. And then I think it's supposed to mean like he chopped up his pants with his scissors. But
yeah, I don't like the hair cutting. I mean, do you think he had extensions? That guy, you know how hard he worked to get that hair? You don't mess with a guy's hair.
Yeah.
I know it's like your thing.
Right.
But how much could they have paid him to let him cut his hair?
Yeah. He cuts a lot of hair. There's a lot more hair to be cut.
I mean,
how much do I have to pay you to
without
cut
his hair? He's nothing. Greg Valentine is nothing without his hair. Is that his first name, Greg?
Yeah.
Didn't sound right when he said it.
How much would I have to give you to cut your hair?
Well, I kind of like my hair being shaved, so I probably do it for like $5.
Okay.
Although I'm growing it out now. I'm doing the growing my hair out of depression phase to see how long I can get it. Because I'm like, what do I care? That's another fun thing about being dumped. You don't care about as much.
Right. Or being married for however many 10 years. You don't give a fuck either.
Yeah, it's ironic. You're always forced into a corner of not caring.
Right.
That's the way time goes.
I think my hair right now is the longest I've had it in quite a while.
Oh, there was one important thing about this match is that Hammer was pinning Beefcake, and then he got called for the three count because his shoulders were on the thing. And I've never seen this before.
I hate that finish. We saw it again at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, and then WrestleMania happens again. Like, this is a new thing. I thought if you're pinning somebody, right, how can you get counted?
Yeah, so Beefcake, so it's almost like their shoulders are both down. So I don't know why they're counting in the first place. And then Beefcake gets his shoulder up, and he's basically laying on Valentine, and his shoulder's up. So Valentine's shoulders are down. But I hate that finish. It's like a real...
downer?
I've never been into that finish, so...
Yeah, as far as the rest of the show, I mean, there was like some kind of classic 80s lines in there. Like Jesse said that he tried to Pearl Harbor him, referring to someone surprising somebody.
That's like a big gorilla thing, too. We'll see.
Yeah, gorilla says that during the WrestleMania.
It's a Pearl Harbor job.
I mean, can you imagine someone saying, oh, he tried to 9/11 him?
Right.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, Jay-Z said that in a song.
There you go.
But he was making more of a metaphor about...
Right.
Taking guys down. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a funny thing. And then you had Killer Bees versus Islanders. I didn't watch that one, really.
Okay. Good enough. All right. WrestleMania 4, a long extravaganza. Did you watch it in one shot?
I did.
Did you find it long?
I feel like I've watched it five times, but I actually watched it today, like right on time. As soon as the credits rolled, I left to get the wings.
Right. So.
I'm as fresh as I could possibly be.
Right. So did you find it hard to sit through all in one shot because it's a long show? I think it's like 3:40 or something on the network.
Yeah, it's almost 4 hours. Yeah. No, I was pretty into it. I kind of took a cigarette break every hour and a half or so. Don't yell at me. I know I was supposed to quit booze and cigarettes.
That's all right. I know it's tough.
I can't do both at the same time.
I'm not saying anything.
All right? I need
something. I'm on your side.
I need something.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that all the walking I did as a mailman gives me a few extra years on the whole destruction of my lungs thing. Anyway.
Probably not. But,
It was pretty easy to watch.
Okay. What did you think of the Trump Plaza Arena this time around?
It was good. It was very... Looked like the fans are kind of on top of everybody.
The fans. I watched this too, to lead up to this show, and because Scott and I are going to be talking about it soon.
You didn't love the fans?
No. I didn't think they were that into everything.
Well, I think I was just too focused on the matches. Maybe I didn't think of it. But there was one match where I was like, wow, the fans are totally dead.
They're dead for most of it.
Intercontinental fight. But yeah, I think...
Outside like Savage and Hogan and a couple of other spots, they're pretty quiet.
That might have been it. I think they might have just been like, when's Hulk Hogan coming? Right. It might have just been like a Hulk Hogan manic crowd, you know?
Well, I think part of it too, and I think this has kind of been proven out, is that a lot of that may have been comped casino goers.
Oh, yeah. Like rich people?
So not necessarily wrestling fans. They were just high rollers like a comp for the big show. So
they didn't even like plan on going. They're just like, oh, I guess we'll go check out this wrestling.
Like if you're Twin River and the old people all show up to like random shit or whatever because they get comped.
That's true. I mean, the crowd looked a bit less white trash than the the lady with the clapping hat and the megaphone from, I forget what that was, but God, I hated that one.
What'd you think of Trump at ringside?
Trump looked like he was into it. He was sitting there the whole time.
Yeah.
Watching and reacting to the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And he was smiling. And I'm like, this is amazing. This guy is thinking, someday I'm going to be a professional wrestler. Or president. I haven't decided which one yet, but I like what's going on in there.
I'm
going
to be a heel either way.
Yeah. Big heel. I couldn't believe it. Like, look at Donald Trump. He's like a little kid. He loves that he's Donald Trump, and he loves watching guys wrestle.
So you asked, who besides Hogan is loving himself more in any moment? Probably it's Trump him. Right there.
But I give it to the guy. He was sitting, like, in the crowd.
Yeah, he's signing autographs.
He wasn't, like, in a box or anything. Yeah. He's signing kids' autographs.
All right.
Maybe he wasn't always bad. Maybe he, like, turned bad when he realized that he was old and he wasn't, like, good-looking anymore.
He was probably bad then.
I'm probably going to be a jerk when I'm old. My looks is all I got. I got nothing else but my looks.
Yeah, but good thing for guys.
That's why I have to quit smoking.
They usually hold up. He was probably always bad. It's just in the 80s, the bad was a little bit more acceptable. It was kind of the bad boy decade for rich guys. They could kind of get away with their coke and rapes and not really.
Yeah, sort of like the more affairs you have and the more money you make or steal, it's like kind of cool.
Right. So that was kind of that era, right? I think that's why Vince was also friends with Donald Trump. I'm guessing they were kind of on the same wavelength in the 80s.
Yeah.
All right, so we open up with the Battle Royal. Bob Uecker's in the booth for this. He is there for the second year in a row, the Uke. So Battle Royal, this is really the first, we started a little bit at 3, but this felt like the first WrestleMania where they worked hard to get everyone somewhere on this show. Like every name guy they had is pretty much on this show, whether it's in a tournament, in another match, or in the Battle Royal.
I guess that answers one of my later questions, which is, so how many guys in the, 20? 20 guys?
In the Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Why
can't they just add a few more guys? Why does it have to be 20?
That's usually the standard. It's the 20-man Battle Royal. That's like a thing.
My question is, why are there matches that aren't the tournament?
I think it was to break up the tournament. Well, you want to get the other title matches on there, so you at least get the tag team title and the Intercontinental.
But you had like Rick Rude, Jake the Snake.
That was in the tournament.
No, it wasn't, because neither one of them moved on.
Yeah, there was a bye. They both got eliminated.
Okay.
That was a tournament match.
How about Hercules?
That was not.
Hercules and...
I think the only two non-title, non-tournament matches are Hercules Warrior and the Islanders Bulldogs.
Right. Okay, so why is Hercules...
Right. They should have probably... That was a very random match, and I think they only made it to break up the rounds. Like, all those matches pretty much break up a round. And the Islanders is a pretty big feud because they kidnap Matilda. So I think you probably could have put Warrior and Hercules in the Battle Royal And just had, you probably could have saved some time. Because that match is, we'll talk about it, but I thought it was trash. I think it was the worst match on a show full of bad matches. All right, so what do you got on the Battle Royal?
Is this the first time that they just throw everyone in there at the same time instead of having someone come in every couple minutes?
No, it's the opposite. They always had Battle Royals. The Royal Rumble, that was the first time they ever did that.
Oh, so the Battle Royal and the Royal Rumble are two different things.
Right.
Gotcha.
So Battle Royals have existed for however long. Like, it's always been kind of a gimmick for promotions.
That's funny. A girl is like, I always hated Battle Royals, Jess. Too many guys in there trying to hit me. The first 30 seconds were interesting because I'm watching it and I'm like, there's so many guys, I don't know what to look at.
Yeah.
So I sort of broke the ring up into three sections, mm-hmm. and I rewound it and I watched the first minute of the fight. And I decided it doesn't really matter where I look, except there was one interesting thing of the first 30 seconds is that Hillbilly Jim doesn't touch anyone for 30 seconds.
What's he do? Just walk around?
Yeah. He just walks around from group to group, not touching a single guy for 30 whole seconds. And 30 seconds is a long time.
Right.
To be in a room with 19 guys and not even touch anyone.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That was my favorite part of the whole thing, actually. But I was watching it, and we get into the end, and Junkyard Dog was there. And I'm like, this must be deja vu, but he doesn't end up winning. So I watched something else that I thought was this,
mm-hmm.
that Junkyard Dog wins.
Okay.
Was that the Royal Rumble?
No, because he lost that, too, at the end. He was in at the end of that, too.
I thought he won something.
Must have just been a match.
We text, watched along text, text, that's what I'm talking about. The Hitman had really cool boots.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself looking at the guy's boots during this whole show.
Okay.
It's like a thing with me now. Like, do you think they have just one pair of boots? Or they have like a whole bunch of boots, like basketball players? Or is it like a baseball player where you only have, you wear the same glove every time? I think they probably have the same pair of boots.
I think so. I think they probably just wear them until they wear out.
They're like really high quality. They probably don't like rip or anything.
Right.
I was also like, what kind of socks are they wearing today? Is it two pairs?
No, they're not doing the two pairs.
Because you know what? I always say wear two pairs of socks.
I do to this day. I'm thinking that they're wearing one pair of like thick athletic socks, like the high 80s style pull up the white sock.
Yeah, I want to see if I can get a pair of like authentic 88 Hitman Hart boots.
He'll probably sell them to you. give a call.
But don't ruin anything for me. I thought he was still wrestling or something.
Bret Hart? You think he's still wrestling?
Why not? Isn't, like, old people still wrestling?
Yeah, he's not wrestling still. He's alive, but he's not wrestling.
Spoiler alert, jeez.
I mean, come on. It's 30 years.
Let's see.
Did you like Euchre?
Bad News somebody won it.
Bad News Brown.
I'd never even seen him before.
Right, I think this is his first show you would have seen him on, so.
Yeah. It was kind of dumb because, you know, him and Hart gang up to get the dog out of there. And then they're like, oh, shaking hands, yada, yada. And then Hart gets mad. That he betrayed him, so mad that he destroyed this giant trophy that some poor trophy person
worked his ass off on. Probably on a tight deadline.
Yeah. So, like, what is Hart thinking there? You can't have two winners.
Right.
You have to try to get him out.
Well, they agreed on it, and he felt betrayed. He thinks Bad News should have came to him like a man and said, all right, let's go now, face to face.
I was wondering what happens if two good friends are the last two in. Are they just going to, like, you know, like... Remember Alien 3? All the aliens started attacking each other?
I don't watch scary movies.
Oh, that's right.
if they're both good guys, they're going to do the honorable thing and just fight as friends. The heels are going to be sneaky about it, as we saw here.
Yeah, Euchre in the booth pretty much kicked off my hatred of Euchre for the next 4 hours of my life.
Oh.
It's just
you Euchre. Like Euchre?
Oh, did you know that he wanted to meet Vanna White?
No, I didn't know that.
Did you know that Vanna White was the co-host of Wheel of Fortune? Like, fucking shut up with the Vanna White stuff.
Yeah, he's obsessed with Vanna.
Also, did you know that Vanna White was 31 years old at the time of the show, which means she's now 61?
That's crazy. And she still looks great.
Yeah, I would totally bang Vanna White.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not like...
Is she still doing the show?
It's not like I've never seen a 60-year-old woman I would bang before. It's obviously happened. Yeah, she's still on the show.
That's crazy.
She's like, she weighs less than she did then.
It's crazy that her like Pat Sajak is still doing that fucking show.
She must be kept alive on drugs or something because like, she does not eat.
How many episodes of Wheel of Fortune do you think they've done? Like, it's crazy to think about.
Well, let's do the math. It's 1982. So that's 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably do, like, I don't know.
Like, do they do
200
repeats?
Episodes a year? They take a couple months off. The fun thing about Wheel of Fortune is that they film all of the shows for the entire year in 1 month. So Pat Sajak and Vanna White
right.
are like traveling the world
right.
For 1 month of work.
So the show actually started in 75 with Chuck Woolery.
You know, I came up with 1982 off the top of my head, and you're like totally blasting me with this.
Well, no, I was trying to see how many. I thought I was just letting you know.
I have a computer too, you know.
I'm trying to see if it says how many episodes.
200 a year times 40.
Oh, syndicated 6,000 as of April 11, 2014. That's a syndicated version. So that started in, it was 35 years ago. So what's that?
82. That's what, okay, I said.
So that's when the syndicated. It was like a live show before that, or date, whatever. So
6,000 shows, yeah.
All right. So since 1982, they've done 6,000. Yeah. That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, where's Vanna White? I'm an old man who wants to meet Vanna White. So it's funny if you're old.
I think
old.
You'd appreciate the old man horny joke.
No, but if I'm not old.
Right.
But I'm not horny. It's funny to a kid and it's funny to an old man. I'm mid-30s. I want some mid-30s jokes.
Okay.
Like, Gorilla was the only one providing them to me with his under-the-cuff, like, sexual references.
Right.
All of his back doors and he was totally doing it on purpose. Like, he had a lot of really gems, this one.
He's a sick fuck. All right, so Uke leaves to go find Vanna. What'd you think of Robin Leach coming out?
I thought it was cool. Yeah. They made a scroll, and he started saying, like, whereas the title is vacate, and whereas the winner of the last title has since been relieved of his championship, and whereas there must be a champion. I'm like, this sounds like the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Like, they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Jefferson would have been proud of that thing. Also, I want to know where that scroll is, because that was something I would put on my wall. I'm very picky about what I would hang up,
yeah,
but that is so cool. The World WrestleMania 4 decree scroll.
It either exists in their giant warehouse of stuff, or like they used it to like roll up.
Somebody must have bought that.
Yeah,
I'm not the only one who thinks like me and wants weird.
They
things.
Have like a giant warehouse in Connecticut that has like all these random props and shit that they just store in.
Why? They should sell it. They should sell all that stuff.
Well, they roll out a lot of it at the WrestleMania weekend fan convention. All right, so our tournament starts with Jim Duggan and Ted DiBiase opening round.
Thoughts? All right, Duggan DiBiase, the plain white guy match.
By the way, I'm curious to see too how you thought the show held up now that you know who wins. Like when you went through it last time, it was kind of new to you, but now you know who's going to win. So I was wondering if it took some of the steam out of the matches for you.
I was going to save this to the end, but okay, since you brought it up, yeah, it was very, very disappointing.
Knowing what was coming?
It basically took all the suspense out because, right, obviously they set up the story really well, and I'm like, yeah, oh, I wish I didn't know that.
Right.
But it's not that I'm blaming you, but it's entirely your fault. And we should have listened to people saying we should go purely chronological.
I know. We adapted quick.
Look, you live, you learn.
There's only other like two things, shows that are going to be spoiled.
There's other things that weren't spoiled for me, so I'll get over it.
Once we get to like May of 89, you're completely fresh.
You ruined WrestleMania 4 for me, which means I'm just going to pick an episode of Breaking Bad to ruin.
That's not fair.
Probably like the second to last one. I'll give some details.
WrestleMania 4 is like one of the worst WrestleManias.
Well, now I'm very excited because I thought it was great, so.
All right, see.
We have like what?
But you're not like a match quality.
25 more.
Yet, so. From a nostalgia point of view, it's a good one. But all right, so what are your thoughts on DiBiase, Duggan?
Well, they're both like plain Janes, so it's kind of a boring start. I like the finishing move of Duggan. I've never actually seen him do it because I think I've seen him try to do it twice and he gets fucked by the manager.
Yeah.
But just that he goes in a three-point stance because it's like America is football and he's like America. It's like, yeah, oh, everyone likes football. Look at me. I'm playing football, but I'm wrestling.
Well, he used to play football in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he...
Actually,
like,
I think he played... he might have played in Canada,
was he a nose
too.
Tackle? Because that's the dumbest position. All you do is, like, run forward.
Let's see. I think he played in Canada as well. He was recruited by Ohio State, played football at SMU, voted team captain, signed by the Falcons, but released after knee injuries. So there you go. So, pretty decent football player.
Do you think Duggan was ever in the conversation for making it farther in this tournament? Or had the previous year, because it was actually a really cool,
right,
year,
yeah,
with all the stuff. So I'm like, all right, well, it's definitely going to be Hogan, Andre, or somebody.
Right.
If I was...
Yeah, I don't think he was in contention to go very far. Maybe a round. Like, you know, we see Don Morocco go around. Like, Duggan could have probably swapped with him, and they could have done the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, it seemed like everyone at the time loved Duggan. I don't know how much more of him there is or if he gets like a shot at the title or anything, but I thought
he's around for a while.
It was kind of weird that he got the eventual finalist in the first round.
Okay.
Also, how do they – so Savage has a first-round match. Hogan and Andre have a bye. How do they even figure that out?
Because they were the last two. They were the guys that had the title that had the kerfluffle there with the belt getting stripped and everything. So they gave them the bye into the second round.
Did you say kerfluffle? Yeah. It's kerfuffle.
I think we've had this discussion.
It's like Sven Jolly.
I'm pretty sure we have that exact same
conversation. Is this a kerfuffle deja vu?
I think so. So anyway, they get a bye because they were the last two champions and they were the ones that had the belt that led to this.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Anything else on this one?
No. Boring.
Okay. All right. No bueno. All right. Let's go on then. Anything on the Gene interview? He talks to Brutus Beefcake. Anything there?
Yeah. He tells Brutus, he looks at his outfit and he goes, "What a package," while looking at his crotch.
Yeah.
It's like, Gene Oakland's a smart guy.
He's a lech.
Gorilla is a smart guy. They must know what they're doing.
Right? Oh, Gene's a wicked perv. Yeah, he was definitely.
Nice package, Brutus.
He's a known perv.
That made me laugh.
All right, that brings us to Don Morocco, The Rock, against Dino Bravo and that fucking useless Frenchie Martin. What do you got for this one?
This is like the goon match. They should just like arm wrestle.
Yeah.
Why even bother? It's just the same guy. To me, they're the same guy.
Racist.
I'm an anti-muscleite.
Racist against big muscle white guys, steroid white guys.
Yeah, I saw one of my favorite moves up to this point. Bravo did a gut wrench type suplex. Mm-hmm. They should do that more.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, if you hit the ground with your feet first, your head first as opposed to your feet first, it looks cooler and it probably hurts more.
Like you using the word gut wrench.
Yeah, I wrote that down because Gorilla said it. I was like, that's the name. I got this.
There you go. Very good. Anything else?
It seems like you're moving me on. Is this just like a throwaway?
No, I want your thoughts. I'm here for you.
So this is The Rock. When The Rock, mm-hmm. Dwayne Johnson comes in, is there like, hey, you can't be The Rock?
No, I don't think they give a fuck about Don Morocco. Because, I mean, his name was Rocky. The Rock's name's Rocky Maivia when he became a wrestler. Rocky Johnson was his dad, and Peter Maivia was his grandfather. So he took the names and put them together. So then when he became an asshole heel, he just starts calling himself The Rock. It's like a...
What's his full name?
Dwayne Johnson.
Wait, what was...
Oh, his wrestling name is Rocky Maivia.
Rock.
His name was Rocky. So then he starts calling himself The Rock when he becomes like a smug asshole. And that's what stuck.
This is Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that was confusing. All right. Who is The Rock's... Who is Morocco's manager? It looks like Hulk Hogan's grandpa.
Evolutionary-wise, he was. Superstar Billy Graham is actually... He was world champion. One of the best talkers in heels, like, ever. He wasn't that great in the ring, but he was, like, an awesome character. He's kind of like a Jesse Ventura, Hogan, early, like, version of them. So, in a way, he's kind of like Hogan's evolutionary dad.
Billy Graham. That sounds familiar. Did I ever see him wrestle, or... Did he show me some old stuff?
I don't think we watched him.
He's got an amazing mustache. I wonder if it was, like... Does he dye it?
He looked dyed. You may be thinking of the preacher, Billy Graham, or the evangelist.
There's two Billy Grahams.
Yeah. The evangelist and then this guy.
Yeah, I think I saw the other one. Yeah, I've never seen this guy before.
Yeah.
I know I'm not crazy.
He was great in his day.
So then, who won that one? It was like a...
Morocco wins by DQ, because Bravo pulled the referee in front.
Oh, that's right. He, like, grabs him and...
Yeah.
That's when you know it's a throwaway match, when there's no, like, argument between Gorilla and Jesse.
Right.
Jesse so was just care. Like... It's like, oh, yeah, I pulled him. Next. Well, you're right, he cheated.
I hate to, like, and it's a problem in this era. They do a lot of convoluted finishes that are hard to, like, follow as a fan. I can imagine being a fan in, like, the back of the arena and trying to piece together what the fuck just happened. It's like, it's all confusing. The referee's knocked down. Bravo lays on him. He taps him on the shoulder. Bravo gets up. He's celebrating. And then also Morocco wins. It's like, it's, the whole thing's convoluted. I hate when they go, like, too far. Confusing. Like, just be simple.
Even as a viewer with the four camera angles, sometimes right. Gorilla and Jesse aren't quick enough, and I'm like, right. What happened? Is this over? Is it a disqualification? Like, right. There was a couple that didn't actually say what happened. We'll get to that, though.
You have any comments on Frenchie Martin Slicker?
I didn't really even notice the guy, actually.
Good. He's useless. Don't worry about him.
I think I was probably checking my phone while they were walking up.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, Euchre's with Honky and Jimmy Hart. You got anything from that?
This was the first time I actually laughed at something Honky said.
Yeah.
Because Euchre was like, needling him or whatever. And Hunky goes, oh, yeah, you'd like to make jokes? Let's talk about your batting average. But he looked so sad. Like, he was upset with what Euchre said. He's like, oh, you'd like to make jokes, huh? You weren't that good at baseball. gave me a good laugh. I still hate him, though.
Yeah. So, all right. That brings us to our continuing of the first round. Ricky Steamboat taking on Greg Valentine. It is Greg.
It sounds wrong, doesn't it? Greg Valentine. No. It's like my name. It's like Jeff Machado.
Yeah,
you have such a cool last name. You deserve a better last first name than Greg or Jeff.
But see, I think it's
apologies to all Gregs out there. I'm admitting I hate my own name, so I can say it.
But I think you guys are so cool, you make those names cool. Like Greg Valentine, so cool, he makes Greg cool.
I think there's one reason, and one reason alone, that my parents decided to name me Jeff, and that was so this show could be called Jeff Learns Wrestling.
You think so?
Because I think any other name doesn't quite ring as well.
Alan Learns Wrestling isn't as good.
Yeah. Joaquin Learns Wrestling.
Frank.
Doesn't work.
Fred.
Fred learns wrestling. Fred is good, yeah. Fred will work.
Jenny learns wrestling.
Fred learns
wrestling. All right. So Steamboat, Valentine. To me, this was the first kind of good match. You all right?
I'm good. Okay. It's very tight here.
It is tight. We're in tight quarters.
We're like in a phone booth.
We're basically sitting on each other's laps. We should do like a video one time.
Yeah, we should simulcast.
Yeah.
We should stream.
Watch this look all fucking weird. Well, the thing is, we're not uncomfortable because we're very comfortable with each other. So, like, you could literally be on my lap and we'd probably be fine recording. But
you could be in my lap.
Yeah.
Don't size shame me.
I'm not size shaming you.
You're size shaming me.
I just kind of picture me as the man. I'm sorry. That's all.
So we're going to get, like, two watches and I'm going to get the smaller watch. I want the same size watch.
All right. We can get the same watch.
A Modern Family reference.
Steamboat Valentine.
Steamboat is... He was really good in this match, and I was very impressed. He's a really good wrestler. He's really good with his, like, flipping things and jump kicks.
Yeah. Do you feel like this is quite the fall from him, from, like, his big story that we saw him last?
Well, yeah, you know, he was going to be Intercontinental Champion, and now he's just kind of another guy.
Right.
I think that he could have been, like, a main event champion kind of dude if he was just a little more interesting.
So you find him a little vanilla?
Yeah, he's just, like, too despite good. He's too, skin. Like, blah, blah, like, you know, I'm Ricky Steamboat, I'm a good guy. If he had an edge to him or something, like, if he had, like, a nunchucks.
So he does get, when he goes back to WCW, he ends up getting into the world title level. And he has, you know, so my thought is when we finish the 80s WWF, I want to show you, like, the best of other stuff from the 80s before we get to 90. So I'll probably make you watch a couple... Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat have, like, all-time classic matches. They had a trilogy, and they're all, like, 5 stars.
Wow. So. Steamboat doesn't look that old.
He's not really. I mean, he has a comeback. So he ends up hurting his back in WCW in, like, 94, and he's forced to retire. He came back at a WrestleMania in his first match in, like, that was 09, so 15 years, and he looked like he didn't miss a step. That was, like, great. And then he wrestled the next pay-per-view. He fought Chris Jericho in Providence. I was there. And the match was, like, awesome. Hmm. And he had, like, not wrestled in 15 years. And he rolled out of bed and put on, like, this great match.
See, this is the guy... This is why I'm so excited about the 8-16 diet.
Yeah.
Because we're not there yet. You know, we're not old yet, man.
Right.
We have so much great wrestling-type
experiences. Like, we play basketball. I play basketball every week. I feel like I'm better now than I was 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's a Tom Brady effect is what it is. It's giving us all hope.
No, not me. But all right, so what else you got for this?
Well, I also, he comes out with his baby.
Yeah.
And Gorilla was calling him the little dragon, and I was already laughing. And then he hands the baby to his wife, and she goes, she's going to take the little dragon. Like, ah, oh, Gorilla. See, that's what I'm talking about. His wife's going to take the little dragon. Gorilla also referred to... Steamboat's external occipital protuberance area.
Yes.
Which might be the best thing I've ever heard.
Do you know what he's referencing?
No.
It's the bump on the back of your head.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. He ends up saying that a lot. He makes up a lot of medical terms, so he'll use it a lot. He does it more and more as we go along, so you'll see them. But he says it sometimes. Like, sometimes whoever he's announcing with will say, what's that? And he'll say, it's the bump on the back of your head. External occipital protuberance.
Maybe his kid was, like, going to med school, and he just kind of took it up as a hobby.
His kid is a referee, Joey Morella.
Joey Morella's Gorilla's kid?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why Jesse always makes fun of him. Shit on him. That idiot, Morella.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So like I said, Ricky is a great seller. Hammer is really bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky kept giving him atomic drives or drops.
Oh, you don't like Hammer selling?
No. He's like a video game.
Okay.
So he crashes down, allegedly getting a knee to the butt, which reverberates from your back all the way up to your head.
Right.
And he stands up straight and wobbles around like one of those crazy, wacky, inflatable, flailing tube men.
Oh, mess.
I'm like, is he trying to sucker him into punching him? And I'm like, no, that's how he actually thinks that hurt people behave.
Right. He's like, oh, my ass. Well, that's a performance art. He's performing.
Oh, so you like his over-the-top antics.
Yeah, you gotta put it on for the person in the last row of the arena. Make sure they know your ass is hurting from that move.
How did he get into this tournament and Beefcake didn't?
Well, Beefcake, I mean, he's got an IC title match, so it's pretty big.
Oh, that's right. I feel like we're gonna do the show for 30 years, and it's gonna take.
You say
me 30
years, or three?
30. You don't want to do a 30-year show with me?
I do.
You know how rare that is?
I know.
It'd be like the Simpsons of wrestling podcasts.
Okay.
But I still won't understand the Intercontinental title. I'll save those questions for later. Okay. But it's
All right. Anything else in this match? We got a ways to go here.
Let's see. I was glad that Steamboat lost.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing? Shit on Hammer and talk about how great Steamboat is.
Yeah, but like obviously Hammer's not going to win, but I thought Steamboat could be like, oh, but he's revived, he's going to go to the end, and it's like, no, he's too good.
So he leaves.
I need a new Steamboat story. I'm done with him for now.
Well, he leaves after this.
Ah, it's a bummer.
So we'll see him very briefly. He comes back for like a few months, but we're really not going to see like peak Steamboat again, unless we watch some WCW stuff, which we will. So you're done with Steamboat with the WWF for all intents and purposes.
For all intensive purposes?
No, just meals. All right. So backstage, Gene is with the Bulldogs and Coco. They're feeling good. Matilda's ready. Anthony, you
Matilda,
got that?
Matilda's so cute. I want a Bulldog.
Yeah?
That's another thing. So obviously.
I say you're not allowed any British or Bulldogs.
My fiance moved out, obviously. She took my dogs and my bed.
You're a walking country song. Got hit by a car. Your fiance took your dogs, your bed.
Yeah. She took my dogs to my bed while I was recovering from a terrible injury. So I'm kind of lonely, and I was thinking about getting a cat or a dog. I can't decide.
Should get a dog.
If cats I get a cat, evil. I might get two cats. Well, cats, they take care of themselves.
They're evil.
So if I had a dog and I went to work for 10 hours, I'd feel bad about what they were doing during their day. But, yeah, Matilda was cute.
Yeah.
And I thought that – wait, we're not to that match yet. What's the next match?
No. Next is Randy Savage and Butch Reed.
Let's see. I did not particularly think this was an exciting match.
No, it was not. Which is rare for a Randy Savage match, right?
Yeah. The most exciting point of the match was I overheard Natural calling him. He said, "Come here, boy." Like, that's racist.
Yeah.
For a black man to call a white guy a boy, that's like reverse racism.
Okay.
I didn't like that.
All right.
There's little kids there.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that these guys are doing such intense physical activities, like beating the shit out of each other, and they don't swear.
Yeah.
How can you not swear?
Yeah, well, I think they do sometimes.
I have not caught anyone yet. Although I think that maybe one of the newer pay-per-views I watched with you by accident, I saw swearing. Does swearing just make its way into the pay-per-views?
No.
Did they make like the entries like 18 plus or something?
No, like in the late 90s when they get to the Attitude Era, they have more, like it opens up.
Okay.
Mr. Ass.
Mr. Ass.
Stuff like that.
Can't wait for that.
All right. So Savage wins fast. What I like here is what's showcased for Savage, which is always my favorite part of him, is how quick he moves. So, like, he's getting beat up, and he gets a window, and, before you can blink, he's on the top rope and coming off. Like, that's always, like, it's one of my favorite parts about Savage, is, like, just how quick he moves and how fast he is, and it's, like, amazing, his quickness. Like,
and his balance, too, because you see other guys who run to the ropes, and it takes them a minute to get up on the first rope, then up on the second rope. This guy goes right up to the top rope, and he takes, like, a split second to balance himself. That's really hard.
Yeah.
You should all go out and try to do that.
No, he's an amazing athlete. I think he's overlooked his, like, for his quickness and everything else. Like, I mean, he had legit fast guy. Like, I mean, he just, in a blink of an eye, he would.
He could be, like, a judo Olympian if he wanted to. Could have been, I should say.
Right. He's not going to be anything anymore.
You have to say that.
All right. So, Euchre, both in Asbury and in real life. He's gone. Uecker is still obsessing over Vanna, and he talks to the Islanders and Heenan, and Uecker and Heenan kind of jab. Did you get anything out of that?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
No, there wasn't much going on. All right, Bigelow and the gang. Battle of Hossas.
Yeah, the big fat guy match.
Yeah.
So obviously, these pairings weren't random. You had the two like big arms guys,
right,
and you had the two fat guys. What are the odds?
Two and
I kind of like the gang's like hair thing. Maybe instead of growing my hair long,
mm-hmm,
I'll like get the mohawk and get a tattoo on my hair, because I've always like, you always want tattoos. Tattoos look cool.
Yeah.
But I have decided never to get them. I have no tattoos.
Well, you want to get buried in the kosher cemetery.
Absolutely. That's the first thing I'm thinking about. But I know what kind of person I am, and I would just hate it. I would hate that if it wasn't perfect.
Right.
So I decided never to get one. But if I get them on my head, you just grow your hair out.
Yeah.
And then you can just randomly shave your head, and you're this cool guy with head tattoos.
I don't know if cool is the word anymore for head tattoos.
No?
Again, that may be more of an 80s thing.
What if I had head tattoos, a mohawk, and a leather jacket?
I remember there was this kid that used to go to St. James Parish. I don't think he was in our art CCD class, but he was always at church, like with his family, and he had a like demon tattoo in the back of his head.
Parish?
To the parish. The church.
What's the kid's name?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just always
said, I thought
you were
saying his name is Parish.
No. But I think he was, I don't remember if he went to our CCD class or if he just belonged to the church. But he had like a demon tattoo in the back of his head. And he would have his hair grow over it sometimes. But
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How do you get a tattoo when you're that young?
Well, I say kid. I was probably like 18, maybe.
Oh, okay.
That's why I don't go to church anymore. I'm afraid of the demons on people's heads. All right. Did you like Bigelow's saxophone music?
I actually don't remember it.
Yeah, it was just an 80s sax beat. It was just very 80s. You're used to other music for Bigelow. All right, any thoughts on the Big Hoss match, though?
It wasn't really a match. They pushed each other a couple times, and it was like a 2-second 10 count.
Yeah. That was a dumb finish, right?
It was terrible.
Yeah. Like Bigelow, because he starts to go in and then he pulls back out and then he goes in again to like make sure he's out there when he gets counted out.
Yeah.
Bigelow looked great at Survivor Series, other times we've seen him, and now he's just somebody we used to know.
Maybe his heart wasn't in it because he knew he was going to lose.
Yeah, that's possible.
So just like, well, fuck you guys.
I'm done. Okay. Jeans with Hogan, and this is kind of an all-time Hogan promo. What'd you think of this masterpiece?
He used fee-fi-fo-fum once before.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, all right, whatever. And then he does it again. I was like, okay, this has got to be the last time. You can't triple dip
right
on the fee-fi-fo-fum. But he was trying to do this thing where he was just so mad at DiBiase that he like lost his mind.
Right.
And Jesse was like pushing it in the main events leading up. And he's like, I don't trust Hogan. He's out of control. He's cheating. He's street fighting. And I'm looking at Hogan. I'm like, he's actually kind of pulling that off.
Yeah, because he, like, beats the shit out of Harley Race. He, like, murders him in the ring.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you know me and Gene? It's right. Like, he's always acting crazy. Yeah. So how, as an actor, do you go from crazy to yourself but crazy?
Right.
As the, but he pulls up just his eyes. It's just like, yeah. I don't care.
The what'd you think of his wild story about the Earth opening up and Donald Trump and all that stuff?
Oh, man. It was good. It was a fun speech.
When the Earth opens up and everyone's sinking to the bottom of the ocean. I know Donald Trump and his family are Hulkamaniacs.
It's going to go from New York City down to Florida and the fault line's going to open.
How do you feel knowing that Hogan could have let Trump drown? It's like, do you kill baby Hitler? Like, he could have killed Trump in this story.
There are so many things that happened in the course of the history that could change the future. Like, if Donald Trump had been so bold as to put himself into the mix of the matches, right, and, like, whoops, he accidentally broke his spine, he's a paraplegic.
Right.
Not president.
Correct. God. Or if he just fell into the earth when it opened up. And then I love Hogan backpedaling out of the picture.
Yeah,
I mean, backstroking.
He's, like, moonwalking while swimming. Like,
yeah.
Swim, What's he doing? They got him crazy, Hulk Hogan.
They're gonna dog paddle to safety or hang on to the Hulk as we backstroke our way out.
He's good too because I don't know what's going on behind the camera if they have cue cards, but he's looking right into the camera.
Right.
You see guys like Beefcake sometimes, their eyes
are
reading.
Look it off. Yeah, yeah.
And it's
because I don't think Hogan has a script, man. He's just going off the top of his head.
That could be possible because he goes on the radio and they just ask him to do the. And he just does it.
Yeah.
He just, like, rattles off a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's like a rapper who just can freestyle. Like, right? That's his thing. He's just
exactly what it is. Yeah. Hulk Hogan is a freestyler.
Right. He's just wicked fucking good at just going into this coke rage and just being a nut.
I wonder if I could ever do that.
All right. Final first round match here. Rick Rude, Jake the Snake, which you didn't even realize was a tournament match.
I didn't realize it was a tournament match.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out the bracket in my head, and this one didn't seem to fit in it.
Right. Well, that's how Gang gets the bye.
Gang gets the... Oh, okay. Because there were two... There was a draw. Well, we haven't got to the draw yet.
Yeah, right. It's coming up.
All right. That makes sense. This is the first time it's ever occurred to me because getting back to our health stuff, I'm thinking of giving up meat.
Oh, really?
First of all, it's not really good for you, but also I'm getting really guilty about all the killing of the animals.
Yeah, they're going to die anyway.
No, they're not. If every person who doesn't eat meat, future animals won't get killed. You can't kill the ones. You can't save the ones that have already been killed. You can only save future ones.
Okay.
But, you know, I would totally have a pet cow or pet pig. Anyway, it's not about that. But the point is I'm like looking at Jake the Snake come in. And I used to love Jake the Snake, and he's got the snake in a fucking bag, man. That's not cool. He's in this dark.
They like it dark.
No, they don't. How do you know a snake likes it dark? They live in the trees. They live in where the sun is. They don't go in the ground. They're not gophers.
Aren't they in caves?
No, those are bats.
Snakes live in caves.
Snakes do not live in caves.
I'm looking up snakes right now.
Snakes are a plant-dwelling, sun-loving creature that wants to be free. They don't want to be in a bag.
I'm going to look right now what their main ecosystem is. Go ahead. Give me your notes.
Anyway. Hey, what?
Give me your notes. I'm going to look up where snakes most likely reside.
Well, this match was a tale of two halves, basically. The first half of the match sucked. It was just them body slamming each other over and over and twisting each other's arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, well, someone's going to get disqualified here. Rude has like a bad manager, doesn't he? Isn't it Jimmy? Jimmy Hart?
Yeah. No, Bobby Heenan.
Oh, right. So I thought something bad was going to happen. But then like halfway through the match, they started actually doing some cool stuff. They were doing a lot of rope stuff. And I don't know what snakes like.
I tried to skim Wikipedia, but it's way too much information on snakes.
I'm pretty sure I'm right about that one. We'll find out next time.
Yeah.
There was a lot of rope stuff and flying stuff and kicking, and I thought it was cool. And the crowd was finally getting into it. The crowd had been kind of dead. But, So I liked the match a little bit more. I was giving them both a little bit more credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like both these guys.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really rooting. I was just like, oh, this is interesting. I didn't really see any of them.
Really rooting?
I wasn't rooting. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I am a dad.
I thought it was such like a frenetic 5 minutes.
Right.
And the snake got him into the DDD hold, and I was like, DDT hold, and I'm like, all right, cool, he wins. And then he had this awesome suplex to get out of it. So I was like, I was kind of bummed, but it was also a really cool move.
Did you feel that they were going to a bye, or like a time limit, based on the way they were kind of dragging things out?
I hadn't even occurred to me the time limit.
Right.
They ran over the rules at the beginning, but that's why I said it kind of flew by in the second half of the match. It was pretty fast-paced. And then they just said draw. They didn't say it was a time limit.
Right.
But it must have been, right?
Yeah.
Because why else would it be a draw?
Yeah. And Gorilla says it. They say it like at one point as it's getting close to the end. They say, I wonder if we're getting close to a draw. Like Gorilla says it. Like they better hurry up. They might be running out of time. So.
Ah. Yeah. So fizzle.
Yeah.
Fizzle ending.
Fizzle, fizzle. All right. Gina Vanna backstage going through the tournament. Vanna makes her predictions for the second round.
Oh, man. She's like dumb, huh?
Yeah. She likes Randy.
She's like, I don't think that anyone should buy anything.
You're on a game show that gives people money.
You should earn it. She's so dumb. Oh,
she's
man.
Literally on a game show where the dumbest person in the world can go on and win money.
I have to go back to the stage, okay? It was like Josh doing a character. If you... If you put Josh's soul into Vanna White, I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
If you had two of them standing next to each other and like, oh, this is Josh doing a character and this is Vanna White. Ah, she's the worst. And by that time, I already hated her because every 2 minutes they're mentioning Vanna White.
Right.
Like, she's not even the hottest girl in that row. There's a whole row of people. There's at least one girl hotter than Vanna White. Wherever row Elizabeth. She's standing. Oh, yeah. Elizabeth. She wore a different dress every time.
Every time. And they always coordinated with Savage's robe.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But she must have had, like, a ton of stalkers, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Like, with this age group and this right. time of, like, yeah. pre-sensitivity, she must yeah. have been stalked, like, all over the place.
Right. All right, so that brings us to Ultimate Warrior versus Hercules.
I love the Warrior, man. Yeah. I was excited.
That were you excited by it. The end of the match?
Wait, let me
see. Were you still excited?
How does it end? Oh, it's another reverse count.
Yeah. Awful. I thought the match sucked. I thought it was the worst match on the show. I thought they both looked bad. They didn't seem to have like any chemistry or know what the each other were doing.
Yeah, it was pretty boring. They couldn't really sell the grudge or whatever. Like they brought in the chain at the end.
Yeah,
I did like that. He Hercules clotheslined him twice, could have knocked him down. That was right. kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean Warrior's presence and all that is like great. Still, it's just that the match, you know, they just didn't get going, and like the end was dumb too. Like Hercules doesn't need to be protected. You know what I mean? Like Warrior beating him was much more needed. At this point, so I would have had. I think Warrior should have pinned him. That's my thought.
Yeah, it was dumb.
All right, so we recap the Hogan and Andre feud.
So we're in agreement. Reverse pinning is not cool.
I'm out. I'm out on reverse pinning.
All right.
I don't want to ever see it again.
So yeah, then there's the montage.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So
that was a great montage.
You liked it?
Obviously, I've seen all this stuff mm-hmm. because that's what we've been talking about with the past few episodes. But when you watch it all together, like, this is a really great year.
Yeah.
They have so many good fights, and there's so many good guys. Like, is this just the golden era? Are yeah. you guys all, like, hanging on now, and it's not as good? Like, there's no more Macho Man and
See,
Andre?
I'm not as much. I'm a little bit later. But there is a group, like, Scott's age group, you know, like, that were in, like, so I was, like, 10, 11, 12 in, like, the early 90s. But they were, like, 10, 11, 12, 85, 86. So, like, for that group. Yes, like this is peak. Like you can't top WrestleMania 3. You know what I mean? Like in their mind. But I'm curious to you, like, so you've now seen Hogan Andre ostensibly 3 times because they fought a Survivor Series as well. Are you running cold on the novelty of Hogan versus Andre? Or are you just as excited for another fight between the two of them?
Well, with the current status quo, I thought this would be like the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested if, say, like Andre turned good again.
Yeah.
And, like, Hogan turned heel, and, like, everyone was loving Andre. Because I love Andre. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Andre be, like, the champion. But in terms of the, you know, Andre's against Hogan, and Hogan kind of fake lost, I was like, all right, Hogan's just going to beat him one more time, and then I'll be done with it.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. So, did those thoughts come to fruition?
Well, when I watched the Savage DiBiase fight, at the beginning of this series,
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that Hogan and Andre fought.
Right.
In WrestleMania 4. So now watching it, I'm like, well, this must be a disqualification or something.
Right.
Because they're not going to be in the final. But
right.
So that was kind of a downer. And then when I saw it, I was like, all right, well, so now Hogan's not champion. And Andre's not champion. So I guess Hogan and Andre are over. Probably.
Over what?
Like, they're not going to fight anymore?
No, it still goes on.
Okay.
They're not done. It's different, kind of a different way, but they're still kind of against each other. What'd you think of this match compared to their other ones?
Well, it's kind of the same. That's another reason. Like, these guys can't fight
right.
over and over again. It's not like, you know, Pacquiao, Cabrera, or something like that, Hearns and Hagler. Like, their fights are the same. They're very right. limited in their moves.
Yeah.
Andre just does the same 3 things over and over again, and Hogan's too big for him to do anything crazy.
What I've noticed is a lot of it is crowd-driven for them. Like, WrestleMania 3, awesome atmosphere, bumps it up, right? And it's kind of the first match, the build. The main event, the crowd was amazing in that match. Here, we're starting to diminish a little bit. The crowd's not as into it, mainly because I think it's the setting. But they fought a bunch of times. It's kind of in the middle of the card. It's not the biggest match of the night. So that, to me, takes an effect on, like, how effective the match is. Because like yeah, you said, they're kind of doing the same thing, but now the crowd is diminishing each time, which takes away some of the atmosphere.
Yeah, and you can't really blame the crowd because they can't be as into it as they would have been if it was the final.
Right.
And the fact that they paired him up before the final is kind of like the league saying.
Well, but I think if you're going into it, you're thinking, all right, Hogan's probably going to vanquish the Giant and then go on and win the title. Like, I mean, right, that's probably what a fan was thinking at that point. Like, he's going to get his revenge on Andre.
Yeah.
And probably, like, beat DiBiase on the way to the finals or something. But if you look at the bracket, that would have meant he would fight DiBiase in the third round. And who would he fight in the finals is Squishy, so.
Squishy. Wouldn't he just fight Savage in the finals?
Yeah, but they might not do that. They're both friends. Like, that wasn't a big thing at the time. That they
Can you refuse to fight somebody?
No, they probably would have fought, but I'm saying WWF wasn't likely to do, like, a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I do think I've seen... It'd be curious to watch those prime times, because I guess the word out there is that, like, the very first version of the bracket, it was organized differently. And actually would have matched up Hogan and DiBiase in the final instead of Savage and DiBiase.
Which makes more sense. So for some reason they decided that they wanted Savage to win.
Right. So the thought process was, would Hogan... The original rumor was that DiBiase was going to win the tournament. So the thought process was DiBiase would screw Hogan in the main event and win the title. That was the... If you look at that initial bracket the first week of TV when they first announced it, Hogan and DiBiase are on the opposite end. So many people thought that meant they were going to have DiBiase beat Hogan in the final, which would have been a weird way to end WrestleMania. But.
Yeah, so then they decided DiBiase wouldn't be a very good champion. Or they just...
No,
they
weren't... So there's a few pieces to this, and I don't know. Like, it's a lot of it's kind of tall tale legend stuff, but... On that main event show when Savage fought Honky, the word is that Savage was supposed to beat him for the IC title, but Honky refused. His contract was coming up or something, and he threatened to, like, leave and take the title with him to go to the NWA. Yeah, take the belt with him. Like, not lose to Savage. He refused to get pinned by him. He's like, fuck you, I'll walk out, and I'll take your belt on their TV or whatever. So they backed down.
Is the belt actually a thing? Like, the belt is actually valuable?
Well, it's more like a slap to your face. So it's like, I'm going to go to your competitor, and, oh, look, I'm still there, Intercontinental Champion. I never lost, and I'm over here now, right? So it's kind of like a slap in the face.
So the real person who played Honky is also an asshole.
Correct.
Jeez.
So as a makeup to Savage, they gave him the world titles, and DiBiase kind of got fucked in the whole thing. That's like the legend behind it. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But
I hate Honky Tonk Man.
Politics.
He's cocky and bad.
And cool.
I'm not going to give him cool.
All right. What else you got on Hogan Andre? Anything?
Probably had my favorite clothesline of all time.
Yeah.
Hogan clotheslines, I don't know if you remember, but Andre slams into the corner and lets out like a... It was pretty good. There was one time where Hogan gives him a pretty good shot. And they're like, oh, Andre's not going to go down. And then he finally goes down, and Hogan points at him and laughs. That was pretty great. That would be like a good still shot.
Do you feel like he's getting to Andre easier than he did? Like, he's almost figured it out a little bit? Like, I feel like Andre falls easier for him. He slams him here with ease. You know, like, it seems like it's...
I think Andre lost like 50 pounds. He looks a bit
lighter. Well, he had that back surgery.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. And, then you get the chairs.
Yeah. So now, if you watch that, do you think that Hogan should have actually been DQ'd? Because he hits Andre with the chair first, and then Andre takes it from him and hits Hogan.
No, because he took the chair from DiBiase, who was there with Andre.
Right,
so.
But DiBiase never touched him with the chair. But Hogan was the first man to strike Andre with the chair. He was the man who used the weapon first. Andre just retaliated.
I don't know, Jess. It's a gray area. It's a gray area to me, Jess. How can you tell who did what first?
I mean, it's right there. He hit him first. So, anyway. All right. What else you got?
Nothing.
Okay.
That was kind of funny. DiBiase throws Virgil at Hogan and runs away. And Gorilla goes, he literally threw him to the wolves. Which, if for all you non-grammar people out there, would mean that Hulk Hogan is a wolf.
Right. I mean, he is. He's a lone wolf.
That's my brother's wife is always just... eviscerating people for misusing the word literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent, you know, the better part of 8 years trying to convince her that the use of the word literally to mean something that's not literal
right.
is ironic.
Right.
It's ironic humor because what you mean, it sounds like you're saying actually, but you're saying literally, which could actually mean that Hulk Hogan is not a wolf.
Right.
He's something like a wolf.
He's hungry like a wolf.
He's hungry like a wolf.
Yes.
And I was trying to think of the next line, but I couldn't.
I can hear
back
like the
isn't
beat.
Proud.
I can just hear like the
he's sleek in his kind. He's on the hunt. He's after DiBiase.
Right.
That's how the song goes. Something like that.
Yeah. And he suplexes Virgil. Virgil, that's a nasty suplex on the floor he takes.
Oh, yeah.
He just fucking drops him.
Yeah, that was like a thunk.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't hit his feet first. Like,
no.
He was supposed to.
He just let him go. He just fucking let him go.
He had like a giant ass bruise on his back.
Yeah. Hogan's like, I'm not fucking, like, I'm not going down. Virgil's going down.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
This, we talked about it earlier. If the match has lost their luster, because I know how it ends. That was the first time during the disqualification. Because I was like, oh, maybe there's like a crazy Hulk Hogan semifinal or.
Right.
You know, this is kind of.
Nope.
In retrospect, a kind of a bummer ending.
All right, so Gene talks to Savage and Liz. Hulk Hogan was cheated.
Hulk Hogan will never lose.
He's never been defeated by anybody.
Like, you're in a tournament with him.
Yeah.
How can you say that?
They're friends. All right, that brings us to round two, continuing. Don Morocco, The Rock, against the Million Dollar Man, who's going at it alone, no
Verge. How can you watch Don Morocco fight after Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant? Man, what a letdown, huh?
I like Morocco.
Did you notice that DiBiase has no music?
No music.
He can't buy some music. He has $1 million.
Are you finding it weird? See, you're not really watching as much current stuff. Like, these days, everyone's got music. As probably from, like, mid-90s on, like, very, like, everyone has music.
But he's walking out to no music. It's not like he's in the ring.
Right.
Some of them are just in the ring already.
No, but, like, only half of the people had music in this era. Like, a lot of, like, bad guys and stuff don't have music.
But the Million Dollar Man, who just bought the championship, yeah. He deserves music.
Sure, he gets it soon. And it's iconic. It's a legendary song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's one of the best wrestling songs. All right, so he's out there alone. And I like the way they do this, because I think it makes him look like a badass. Like, he's been kind of sneaky all this time and cheating and spent his money. But this time, he's like, I'm just going out there alone, and I'm just going to beat this fucking guy. And that's what
he does. No bodyguard, no jacket.
Nothing. No money. He just comes out and fucking beats The Rock, like, clean. Like, on his own, with no fucking help. He just beats The Rock. I thought it actually made him look like the best he's looked as far as, like, a tough guy in the ring.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was a good finish.
Yeah.
The rope throw thing, the choke.
Yeah.
Actually, Morocco gets a lot of credit for that because he landed it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, it landed right across his shoulder, so it looked like it could have, like, hit right. his neck. It wasn't like a...
Well, that's what... It's easy to do when you have, like, 70 layers of muscles across your chest. He's, like, absurdly gross, like, jacked Morocco. It's like...
Yeah, he's got, like, the Terry Crews pecs. It can make him bounce.
Yeah, but even grosser than that. Like, Terry Crews is, like, cut and just naturally big. Like, you could tell he just works out.
Yeah.
Whereas Morocco, Terry Crews does the intermittent fasting, by the way. He's, like, one of the biggest proponents.
Oh, I'm definitely doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
He's, like, a diehard intermittent fasting guy.
I love Terry Crews.
So
loves Terry Crews.
He works his ass off. Morocco is just shooting up juice and just bulking up.
The finish, I was reading my notes and...
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, DiBiase looked good. But did you notice there was a headbutt, like a on-the-ground headbutt?
Mm-hmm.
He missed him by a good 2 feet.
Yeah.
It was a connected headbutt.
Right.
That just kind of ruined it for me. Like, if you – there should be, like, a little code between the guys that if you're supposed to connect
right.
and you miss by so much
that don't
you can
sell it.
See
yeah. –
yeah.
Some guys don't. Like, some are actually really good at that. If there's a botch, they'll kind of naturally move on, and they won't sell it, and they'll do something else. Some guys are just bad at it. They'll just – they'll either sell it or they'll repeat the move, which is like a big kind of no-no. Like, don't repeat the exact move 2 times in a row. If you fuck it up the first time, just move on.
Yeah, it was a bad one.
All right. Anything else on that?
Yeah, at the beginning of the match, if you guys are ever watching WrestleMania 4, just kind of slow down the footage and look to the left, and you'll see Howard Finkel. Is it Howard Finkel?
Mm-hmm.
The announcer?
Greg.
Greg Finkel. Greg the Hammer Finkel. He's sitting in his chair, like, lounged back, drinking something, and he checks his watch. And it was, like, the funniest thing I ever seen. Because he's at WrestleMania 4. He's the ring announcer. Right. And he just looks bored to shit.
So, can I tell you what he may have been doing? Like, the ring
announcer... there's an actual reason why he's looking at his watch?
He was also usually served maybe as, like, the timekeeper to move the match along. So, he may sometimes, like, give a signal to the ref, like... all right, you know, we got to get out of here or whatever.
Okay.
Or, you know, he's no one to ring the bell or whatever, so.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's probably what it was, but it looked like he was just right. sitting there looking like, at how late it was.
Right. Well, he's probably thinking, I want to go hit the fucking casino. All right, Euchre's with the demolition.
Yeah, and
Fuji.
Axe. Wait, is it Axe and Smash? Yeah, so the darker hair is Axe. Okay.
He's got the shorter hair, yeah.
So they're like, hey, what do you think? He's like, oh, there's a lot of bad things happening, and bad things are going to be happening to the other team. What is he talking about? Like, the world? Like, politics? War? Yeah. There's a lot of bad things happening, like, in the Wrestling Federation?
What would you do if you just started singing We Didn't Start the Fire?
Look, everyone, we all know that there's trouble in the Middle East, but there's going to be a lot of trouble for the Heart Foundation coming up. Like, it was just right. a weird, weird yeah. thing to say.
Right.
Who were they fighting?
Strikeforce.
Strikeforce, right. I'm really glad about that match. So next, we have...
Gang and Slick. I love this, too. They bring out the poor one-man gang. This fucking fat guy is going to walk all the way down the aisle just to come out so they can announce that he got a bye, and then he leaves.
Woo! How long did they work on that catchphrase?
The woo! I don't know.
Woo! Gang!
I just love that they make this guy who's like obviously not in the best shape walk all the way down that long fucking ramp just to come out and get announced.
All right, so you know how I like hate Julia Roberts,
yeah,
and I hate Matt Damon and stuff. Objectively speaking, they're good at like portraying a character, memorizing lines, things like this. I can't for the life of me understand Kevin Hart. Can someone explain to me Kevin Hart? Do you like Kevin Hart?
No, I mean, I don't hate him. I don't like him, though.
You don't hate him?
I don't care.
It's not that I don't care about him. I don't hate him. Existence. I don't hate him, but he's a multimillionaire for being funny. Right. And he has never made me laugh one time.
Yeah. I have no care about his existence. I'll put it that way.
I'm saying this because we got the Celtics game on in the background. Yeah. He was in a commercial.
With Mean Gene.
And did I watch. I did not notice.
It was Mean Gene in the commercial.
Oh, my God. Returns.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice because I was just staring at him, hating him.
Yeah.
I watch poker, and he's in these high stakes poker shows. And he's always at the feature table because he's famous, and he talks the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the worst trash talker that I've ever seen. You have these poker players who are like geniuses, like 21-year-old kids from Germany, and they're just like laughing at him, like, oh, this guy's an idiot. They're like, oh, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to beat your ass. Like, that's famous.
Right.
I'm sorry. It just made me mad seeing him.
Whatever. He's better than Tyler Perry. That's my line.
Tyler Perry can at least produce things.
Yeah, I know.
He makes things. He invents stories. The man is talented. He puts himself in too many things. But I would probably do that too.
And TNT loves those things, which makes it even worse. Or TBS, whatever it is. It's like obsessed with them.
Yeah, because people pay to see it. It's crazy.
Let's move on. Randy Savage.
Why'd you have to say Tyler Perry? Why can't you say a white person who sucks? Now everyone thinks we're racist.
No.
I find a lot of black people very funny.
You mentioned Matt Damon, right? You mentioned white people.
Yes, I hate a lot more white people than black people. I want to be clear on that.
I only mentioned Tyler Perry because I was thinking of someone who gets pushed down your throat like all the way.
For example, Ray Romano, white guy, not funny.
Yeah, but I'm talking about people that are like a network chooses them. Like TNT and the NBA love Kevin Hart. Like he's all over their shit. And I just made me think of Tyler Perry who like TBS was like obsessed with Tyler Perry. Like he's just on everything.
It's like they get lazy. It's like, all right, we have Tyler Perry. We can get like 5 shows out of him. So we're not going to look for other people. Right.
We're just going to make him do his same stupid shows. Medea takes a shit. All right, Randy Savage and Greg Valentine, round 2.
Well, by this point, I was really, really loving Pop and Circumstance.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Just play it the whole show. It was like Groundhog Day when they play, you know, I Got You, Babe.
Yeah.
Every single day, it's like, da, da, da. It's like, da, 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 da. I'm like,
Andy McDowell, you also hate.
Oh, my God, Andy McDowell. Groundhog Day might be the best movie ever made because even though Andy McDowell was the main character, I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
And how Bill Murray didn't get an Oscar for that, I have no idea. It's the comedy bias. I'll have to look at that. What was it, 92? It's probably someone like, I don't remember. Oh, let's see if I can get it before Justin finds it with his fancy computer that's connected to the internet that only he has. let's see. Anthony Hopkins was 89. And then...
Wait, so what year did that... Was it 62 for sure?
92.
I mean...
1962.
All right, well,
Groundhog Day, black and white.
Let's look up Groundhog Day for us, so to see what year would have been eligible.
I see the 92 and 94. That's an odd 90s year. 93.
Those would actually be even years. All right, so 93.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
So this one honored films released in 92. So we need the 66th Academy Awards. Okay. Let's see. Was it nominated?
Oh, maybe it was Clint Eastwood because Unforgiven.
It was not even nominated, Groundhog Day.
Well, it's not going to be nominated for Best Picture. I'm saying Bill Murray for Best Actor. He went through a huge range in that movie.
Right. All right. Let's see. Best Actor.
I'm going to say Clint Eastwood.
Tom Hanks, Philadelphia.
Ah, God, that's the worst.
Daniel Day-Lewis in The Name of the Father. Lawrence Fishburne was Love Got to Do with It.
Do you see these nominees? Liam Neeson, Schindler's List. Anthony Hopkins, Remains of the Day. Lawrence Fishburne, What's Love Got to Do with It? As Ike Turner? You telling me that Lawrence Fishburne was better as Ike Turner than Bill Murray in Groundhog Day? No one's ever seen What's Love Got to Do with It. And then four, like, stupid... Daniel Day-Lewis, give me a break. You know what? They should make a movie with Daniel Day-Lewis and Kevin Hart. Let's see how good of actors... They're such great actors.
What do you think won Best
See
Picture?
If they can have chemistry with each other. In 93? Well, tell me it was nominated. I can definitely tell you.
All right, don't look. The Fugitive, The Piano, The Remains of the Day, In the Name of the Father, Schindler's List...
Schindler's List won.
Yes.
The Remains of the Day. That is such a pretentious title. I'm going to watch that movie now.
Okay. All right.
I do like Anthony Hopkins.
Let's continue on. Anything else?
Where are we?
You talked about Pomp and Circumstance.
Savage. Okay, yeah. So, I spent a lot of time looking at their boots because, like, Savage has these yellow boots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those are definitely his only pair of boots.
Yeah, his boots are awesome with the star.
What if they ever got them stolen? It'd be like if, B.B. King was playing a concert, he got his guitar stolen. What is he going to do?
Make a new guitar.
He's going to have to find a new guitar, but he's not going to play the same kind of music. Anyway, love the shoes. Let's see. What's happening in this? You got the small package.
Mm-hmm.
Small package finish.
Yeah. Blocks the figure four.
This is the same about the figure four. Ever since I watched the main event with Beefcake versus Hammer, he was trying to put on the figure four. And then there was another match with Hart. I forget who he was fighting, but he was trying to put... The figure four never actually happens, does it? It's like one of those elusive things. It's so deadly if you get it on, but no one actually ever does it.
I mean, Ric Flair used to get it a lot, but only gets bums. I mean, that's kind of a thing. He never usually got it in his big matches. So, yeah, it's probably a valid point.
But why? Do these guys say, I'll lose, but I'm not going to lose by figure four? It's too embarrassing.
No, I think maybe they thought it would be too obvious. So they'd always try and mix it up. I don't know. It's kind of late for this kind of philosophical question about the figure four. All right, Gene is with
Bannon. Oh, you're in your 16 now.
Well, I'm only two hours in, so.
Okay. Your eyes are going to start to get glazy soon.
Like, if you talk to me at this time tomorrow, 10:13 a.m., I'll be, like, ready to fucking die. All right, Gene's with Vanna. They talk about rounds 2 and 3, and Vanna plays dumb about who Bob Uecker is. She has no idea.
Who? Who is Bob Uecker? This is the bit we're doing. I don't know who he is, and he wants to meet me so much. God.
It's a gag.
Why was she so famous for being on Wheel of Fortune that they had to give her a speaking part in the most popular wrestling show of the year?
I don't know. Was she in, it was like Trump? Did she do like any of like the Miss America shit or whatever?
Oh, that's probably what it was. You know why? Because they show her kissing Trump like 3 times.
Sorry.
So they were probably banging.
That was a chair. All right. So Vanna, let's see if she did a Miss America pageant. Yeah. She was a contestant in Miss Georgia. Yeah, she was probably in the pageant scene. Playboy pictorial. Yeah, she's in there with Trump, I bet. She's a Trump person.
She's a Trumper.
Vanna's pageant. Oh, Vanna's pregnant. Never mind. Oh, that's sad. She first became pregnant in September 92, announced her pregnancy in an episode of Wheel of Fortune where Vanna's pregnant was the answer to a puzzle and then had a miscarriage shortly after. That's fucking sad.
And then the next week there was a puzzle that said Vanna had a miscarriage.
Vanna's no longer present. Pregnant.
I'm not laughing because she's in pain. I'm laughing because it's funny, okay? It's a funny joke.
All right, so Miss Georgia pageant, I don't see anything else besides pageants, so maybe she wasn't involved in that gig. I don't know. Whatever.
Point is, she's there, and there's no avoiding it.
Correct. All right, Beefcake Honky for the IC title.
For the IC title, a title so stupid you can't even say what it actually is. You abbreviate it.
Intercontinental Championship.
So, you got the Honky Tonk Man getting the atomic, whatever they call it, wedgie drop.
Mm-hmm.
He's even worse than Hammer. He actually does, like, the hot foot thing, like, jumping up and down.
Oh, Honky?
Like, ouchie, ouch, ouch, yeah, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Honky's like, He's like my cousin Matt doing comedy, but he's very like 1950s like slapstick, like Three Stooges kind of comedy.
Yeah, I mean his song is like a 1950s hillbilly, hill rockabilly song.
Right.
This is the one we said at the beginning. You were talking about the crowd. This is the match where it was like dead silence.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a shit about this match.
Right. Yeah. They're just. I think they're just. It's a long night, especially if it is a lot of fans who aren't really into wrestling. They're burnt out. They've already seen Hogan. They've seen a ton of fucking matches already. And now you're into Beefcake Honky, and you're kind of like, eh. Yeah, like, Beefcake's not, like, super over as a face, and Honky is kind of fading. So, this late in the night, like, if this match was earlier, I bet the crowd probably more into it. I think by this point, they just didn't care enough.
Yeah, maybe you could bring out the guitar and do some guitar smashing or more scissoring.
Right. Well, he does cut Jimmy Hart's hair.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Jimmy Hart is his mullet. What is he supposed to do now? Yeah. What happens in the next coming year?
He doesn't really cut the mullet off. He just kind of takes chunks out of the back of it.
Yeah, but that still ruins the whole flow.
Yeah. He'll grow it back. He's still got that fucking mullet today. He's fine.
Well, I just... Remind me, when we're watching something in September of 88,
okay,
what Jimmy Hart looks like. Because I don't like it.
Probably the same.
Best image of this match was Beefcake pulling him out from under the ring.
Yeah.
Because they show him, he's on top of him.
Right.
Like he's mounting him from behind.
Yeah.
And he's got those stupid hot pants with the. It looks like a porn scene.
Yeah.
Poor Jimmy Hart.
So nothing
else. Beefcake is on top of him. He's all over it.
All right. So that's it there. What'd you think of Peggy Sue?
It's a little flat character.
Yeah.
Not necessary. Oh, Peggy Sue poured water on Honky Tonk Man.
I think they were just trying to do whatever.
What a genius.
I think they were just trying to add anything they could to make Honky stay relevant. So, like, all right, give him a fucking greaser chick now. You know, he's even more delusional in the 50s.
Why don't they just use a real chick? Why don't they use one of the Jumping Bomb Angels all of a sudden is dressing like a flapper and loves Honky Tonk Man? Now you have Honky Tonk Man in love with a Japanese girl. That is a story.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
All right.
I bet they look back on that and they regret the...
They're too cool for Honky. They deserve better than that. All right, Euchre is still looking for Vanna, and Andre walks in. This is a really iconic moment when Andre chokes Euchre.
Shut up now! That was great.
Yeah.
I forget what Heenan said, but he just grabs him. Like, you shut up now! He just walks away.
The way he chokes, like, Euchre makes a pretty good face, too. He's like, oh. All right, six-man action. The British Bulldogs and Coco Beware taking on the Islanders and Bobby Heenan.
Well, somehow Coco Beware slipped my mind.
Right.
So
is it existing as a person?
No, like, I didn't see him in the beginning. Oh, okay. So, first, the Islanders and Heenan walk out.
Yeah.
And Heenan's got the dog catcher suit on, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the Bulldogs walk out. And they have Matilda on a leash.
Yeah.
So I thought Matilda was the sixth man. If you watch them walk down, Coco is behind
him.
Right,
yeah, he's on the way.
You can't see him. Yeah. So I'm like, how are they going to tag in Matilda? But I was really excited. And then, of course, I'm like, oh, it's Coco. Great.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't do that. Like, have Matilda, like Bobby and Matilda in the match.
Yeah, imagine if it was Bobby and Matilda in the center of the ring.
Right.
And the dog was just, like, chasing them around.
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea. I'm surprised they didn't do that. I never thought of it.
They probably thought of it, but they couldn't pull it off because if you notice, Matilda has a handler.
Right.
Who was, like, 5 feet away at all times and then was watching the dog when it was... So the handler probably wouldn't be able to... Like, it would have to yell from outside the ring and it would be way too...
Obvious.
Conspicuous.
Did you notice the really racist Jesse line?
I should have noticed it.
He says Bobby Heenan looks like a Chinaman.
Oh, yeah. But then Gorilla doesn't say, oh, come on, Jesse. He says something like, oh, yeah, it kind of does.
But then Jesse doubles down. He says Bobby looks like the cook on Bonanza, who was Hop Sing, right? Wasn't he the cook on Bonanza?
That one went over my head because I've never seen Bonanza.
Well, me neither, but I think I know that. I'm pretty sure Hop Sing was the cook on Bonanza.
It's not knowledge that has been absorbed.
Right. Well, and then Hop Sing's is the name of the Chinese restaurant, right? In the Seinfeld?
Hop Sing's?
You got me blacklisted at Hop Sing's? Right, yeah. It's Hop Sing, right? Yeah. Fictional Cartwright family cook on Bonanza. Victor Senyung.
That's not necessarily racist. It just kind of has the gray uniform.
No, that's not racist. But he calls Bobby Heenan a Chinaman and then references him to a what did I say it was, Vietnamese cook or whatever. Like, it's... It's just casual racism. Which existed in the 80s. It's not.
Well, the term Chinaman is racist.
Right.
To say that he looked like a guy from China wearing a gray jacket, I'm not sure if that's racist.
Right.
I'll defend Jesse on this one.
Well, I think Chinaman was probably accepted in that time.
Yeah.
Right. It's like Oriental. Like, that was accepted in the 80s.
Yeah. You can't really say Chinaman now, but if you said Chinaman, you wouldn't get beat up for it. You just have some guy go, actually, they don't say Chinaman anymore.
Right. Josh would probably say that.
That's not the accepted right. nomenclature.
Yeah. So, anyway, so he says this to Chinaman and then calls him Pop Singh, basically.
All right. It was a weird match.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was, like, funny, but then I'm like, I don't want to see Bobby Heenan wrestle.
Right. I like that he won, though. Did you like that he won?
Yeah.
I like the way they did
it. That was a great move. They pick him up and use him to throw. And then when he falls, he just lays flat.
Right.
And, like, it hurt, but it worked. He's like, ah, on the ground.
And then I thought he was good, too, when Matilda was mauling him.
Yeah.
In the aisle. Like, he does the great pratfall where he's running into strips, and then Matilda just comes and eats him.
Then, at the end of it, there was a crowd of people, so I'm wondering if something went wrong.
Oh, like you think. Maybe they couldn't get her off him.
Yeah, maybe because I think the handler was, like, outside the crowd.
Right.
And, like, you could kind of see her, I think it was, trying to get in there.
Yeah.
But, like, you saw, like, there's a shot, if you go back and watch, Davey Boy is just looking down, like, oh, we didn't see this coming. Like, obviously, Heenan doesn't have any bad scars or anything, and we see Matilda again after this, hopefully, so everything's fine.
I mean, they could have just been covering up to make it look like she was mauling him, and they wanted to cover it, so, like, to sell that, oh, God, she's killing Bobby, but she wasn't, but they were trying to make it look by covering it up.
It could be, but it looked like...
Right. Maybe she got
it looked like
something.
They were going, like, let's go to the wide camera angle.
Yeah.
We have to clean this
up. Maybe she was just lashed onto the dog cat. Like, he might have been fine. She might have just been lashed onto the outfit, and they couldn't get her off of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Chinaman survives and gets to win. What did you think of Fink introducing Jesse for his big pose down? And
why? Why did this happen?
I don't know. It becomes a WrestleMania. Didn't he do it? I think he did it last year, too, at 3. It becomes like a WrestleMania thing. Like, he does it every year.
Is that, like, in his contract?
I don't know. It's really random.
Is he so popular that...
He gets a huge pop. Like, the crowd liked it.
But he's like, can I have your attention, please? Turn your attention... Which he said attention twice.
Right.
Turn your attention to the WrestleMania 4 banner. And I'm like, what's going to happen here? Are they going to, like... reveal like a Hall of Fame or some kind of weird like plaque thing. Like, nope, it's just Jesse. Say hi to Jesse. Like, I've been saying hi to Jesse for 3 hours.
Yeah, but if you're in the arena, you weren't.
Okay, but
it's a glimpse of the people in the arena. Get a glimpse of Jesse. A glimpse of the body.
It was weird. It was just weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And then DiBiase has to walk away down the aisle.
They focus on his body. Right. Is it like setting him up to come back?
No, he's just the body. Jesse, the body of Ventura.
Okay,
I think he's just an insecure man. So he just, you know, he can't wrestle anymore, so he needs his moment in the sun.
What were you going to say about DiBiase?
He has to come all the way down just to get acknowledged that he had a bye. Same as Gang as earlier.
He's like, ha ha!
All right, I'm leaving.
Finals! Yeah!
All right, so that brings us to Randy Savage and One Man Gang, the only semifinal match.
The only semifinal match. This is when I started to think about how this tournament worked for the guys who actually had to fight more than once, like Savage. Like, what happens in between? Is he taking an ice bath?
Yeah, it's just,
is he like, having a protein shake? Like,
drinking some coffee.
Does he change his Speedo and his socks?
Yeah, probably.
Like a shower?
Maybe. Maybe he rents it off.
I wonder if he has, like, VIP treatment.
Oh, sure.
Like, just, you're getting, like, because after one match.
Get a happy ending.
Get a little rub and tug.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I want to know. There should be more backstage documentaries. I want to know what it's like backstage.
Right.
Like, in between these. Because usually it's just one match. You don't think about
it. Right, you shower and
turn the TV off. Yeah. But, like, what's happening back there? What's the preparation?
Right.
What's the level? Because these guys are all in good shape, but it's obviously not as good then as it is now. Mm-hmm. It's like, what were they doing? Were they just eating, like, chocolate bars?
Playing cards, drinking coffee, and doing drugs, that's my guess.
Just do some coke?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of cocaine back there, huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Everyone wants to go backstage to the concert. I want to be in a WWF locker room.
In the 80s?
In the 80s.
You might not come out.
Like for one WrestleMania. But yeah, I'm thinking like, all right, so now Savage has got to fight the gang. He's got to be wicked tired, right?
Right. And do you notice like the cool thing they do with this, he's the only guy that fights 4 times in the whole thing.
Yeah, because he
didn't
get a bye.
Like DiBiase gets the bye. Like, so it really makes him like an Iron Man. Like he's the only guy fighting all 4 times. So I thought that was a cool touch. And Gang, I think they make him look real dumb. Like, when is the One Man Gang ever going to be this close again, probably to a world title match? against a guy that's beatable in Ted DiBiase, and he tries to poke Savage with the cane a bunch of times. Like, it was just, it made him look real stupid, you know? Yeah. And the way they do it too, where he just keeps jamming it to the mat.
He doesn't even look over to see if the referee's
looking. Right, he just does it. It just makes him look real fucking dumb.
He's like, all right, this is the part where I hit the cane. And the cane.
And then he actually cracks him with it.
And the cane. He gets him pretty good.
Yeah. And then I do like him and Slick hugging, and then Savage knocks Gang onto Slick. But
also, this
is a random embrace.
Yeah. This is my favorite Liz outfit. She was wearing a black dress.
Yeah, she'll get in the black.
I'm a sucker for frilly things, like the frilly skirts and the frilly neck things. Ugh.
So what does she have? She went blue. Was it red and blue so far? Or no, pink. It was like a mauve or something, right?
Yeah, so she had like a blue business suit type looking thing, like a cocktail dress. And she had like a pink or fuchsia type, like prom gowny thing.
And now the black, and then she's got the white in the finals.
And the white in the finals. Yeah. The black is the best.
Okay. All right. Jeans with Vanna is very excited to head to the ring, and then Euchre comes in and does the Vance White joke. You get the letters from Vance White?
I've been getting all these letters from Vance White. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, it's almost like Vanna, but it's not.
It sounds like Vanna. She's been writing me letters. I mean, come on, man. You're better than that.
Yeah.
You were the guy in Major League. One of the best roles of all time.
He's the guy in Mr. Belvedere.
The guy in Mr. Belvedere, which I definitely watched, but I cannot remember one thing from that show.
Streaks on the China.
I think I remember Mr. Belvedere getting addicted to gambling at some point.
Dropkick his jacket. He walks in the door. I believe I did a fan fiction Mr. Belvedere episode as Vince on the Place to Be podcast.
I got to look that one up.
Yeah. It had something to do with Belvedere banging Euchre's wife or something. Anyway, all right, so that's going on. So our final match before the final, and that is Strikeforce against Demolition for the Tag Team Championships. Any thoughts here?
Well, Strikeforce theme song sounds like an 80s sitcom song.
It's Girls in Cars. Girls in Cars.
Oh, yeah.
I want girls.
But that's what that song sounds like.
No, that's the song.
I know, I'm saying that song.
That song sounds like an 80s, yes.
So if you just take the music.
Right.
And set it against two guys with long hair walking into a wrestling ring.
Right.
It sounds like an 80s sitcom.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because those guys both look like the older brother. They look like Zach's older brother. Anyway, I hate them. Also, Axe and Smash, I never really occurred to me because I'd seen them like growing up.
Yeah.
Very popular group, but they kind of got like a S&M thing going.
Oh yeah,
like they had the gimp mask,
right? Yeah, they're basically like
and the leather
dominatrix.
Yeah,
What
is like? What's
They don't really ever like mention it. I think it's just kind of undertones.
Which the gimp is usually like a submissive type thing. Right. They're supposed to be these badass,
it's kind of a mix
tough
of it
guy.
Too.
Yeah, it's like a biker gimp.
Right.
That's right. But the masks are cool. Why don't they just leave the masks on? It's weird to have a
mask
and makeup.
I think it was meant to be more of like a torture thing. Like the masked guy whipping the... So it's not the gimp getting whipped. He's kind of...
Like the executioner?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just don't understand why they have makeup. I mean, why waste your time in the makeup chair? Just wear the mask.
Well, those are big, heavy masks. They weren't just like a...
Well, don't wear the mask then. You have makeup on. I didn't like it. You have a mask on, you take it off, you have makeup on.
Did you get any more of Jesse's racism in this one?
The Tijuana thing?
Yeah.
He's going to make some tacos in Tijuana.
He's like, Usher's back selling tacos in Tijuana.
Gorilla is so great. He goes, he's not from Tijuana, Jess. You fucking idiot.
And then did you get the MFL joke, too?
No.
He says, Jesse says he learned the flying forearm in the Mexican Football League, the MFL.
Oh, that's great. Chico.
You just call him Chico quite often. What'd you think of the ending here with the
Kane Mania. Kane Mania 4.
Yeah.
Like, enough with the Canes.
Lots of Canes. Oh, the crowd was super pumped, though, when Demolition won. They're not feeling the pretty boys.
Yeah. I mean, they're such a boring team.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, yeah, the heel won. Sweet.
Yeah, the crowd went like nuts when they won.
The thing about these two teams, it's like a boring matchup because you could switch either one and they could do the same things in the ring.
Mm.
Like, the two, Chico, Tito... And Mark, they're the same guy. And Axe and Smash are the same. So it doesn't really matter who's in there. It's like...
Right, you're not getting anything. It's like...
If you have Hogan and Savage, right. It's like, oh, now like Hogan's getting tired. If only Savage could get in there and do his crazy aerial stuff.
Right. Know? Or the Hart Foundation, right?
Yeah, like yeah. One's tough and one's fast. And
none of them sell tacos in Tijuana.
It was a very vanilla tag team match. But now you got the the Anal Demolition as champions. Yeah.
That's true. They're into it. Fink brings out all the celebs. We get Robin Leach, Euchre, Vanna. Did you get Jesse's diatribe on Mr. Baseball?
No.
He's like, why is this character Mr. Baseball? He's like, Mr. Baseball should be Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle. That's the way he says this character. It was real funny. He's kind of friendly with Euchre the whole show, and then just fucking rips him right now. He's like, why is he Mr. Baseball?
Well, he mentioned his 200 batting average a lot.
Right.
Which, Euchre's a good sport.
Right, but he's kind of doing it as, like, a jab. But here, it's like he's really shitting on him. He's like, why is this asshole Mr. Baseball, basically? It'd be like me saying, like, why are you Mr. Podcast? You know, like...
You don't even do a lot of podcasts.
Right, why are you Mr. Podcast? All right, that brings us to the finals, the championship match, the end of the tournament, Randy Savage in his fourth match against Ted DiBiase. We've talked about this a year ago on episode one. We'll talk about it here again.
Do you remember us talking about it? Because I don't. What did we say about it?
Vaguely. I think you were just in awe of the whole thing.
What? How many stars did I give it? That's back when we were doing stars.
I can probably pull off the document. Let me see.
No, don't worry about it. I feel like I gave it a... How many... Was it out of five or four?
Five.
I think I gave it four.
I can find it. We used to actually have a document that we worked off of. Before we went chronological, this was like matches I would send you to watch.
Well, I don't remember noticing this, but as Euchre was walking in, a fan goes up to hug him like a drunk guy.
Gave it 3.5.
Oh. Yeah, I'd probably stick with that.
Okay.
But the guy had a cigarette in his mouth.
No, what? They did what?
This drunk guy like went up to Euchre.
Yeah.
And like hugged him.
I think you could just smoke indoors back then, right?
I know. Yeah. I was born 20 years too late, man.
It was a casino, too.
To go to a wrestling match and smoke. Yeah. Ugh. That would have been so great. Those are the days. Anyway. I just make sure that there's no Euchre or Vanna White in anything I watch from now on.
I think they're both done. Euchre eventually goes in the Hall of Fame, but it's many years later.
The WWE?
Celebrity Wing.
Ugh, that's terrible. He wasn't that good. I think the Vance White joke should have gotten him out of it. If it wasn't for that joke, I'd say, yeah, he did a pretty good job. But he should have cut that one. All right, so we got more Andre pulling Macho Man's leg.
Yep.
Macho Man just turning around going, hey, come on now. Stop it. That was beneath Andre, I feel. Like, if he's going to be out there,
He
could do something other than just pull his leg. It's like a slickster kind of move.
Yeah. I do like when he stands in front of DiBiase to protect him. He looked awesome. The camera shot was beautiful. Like, Savage is up on the rope, DiBiase is on the floor, and is behind Andre. And it just gives you, like, the scope of just how massive his back is. So, like, he's arched like this, like his arms are back. And he just looks like this mountain. Like, it was, like, a real cool camera shot.
He's an imposing figure, too, and he's got that checkered jacket.
Right.
He's a good-looking man. He's the best-dressed guy in WWF. I forgot who won the Slammy.
For best dress.
But
I don't think it was him.
Andre should have won it. I want that jacket. Oh, LeBron's hurt. LeBron's hurt, guys.
Skip Bayless is jerking off right now.
Oh, sure. He's up by 7 in the fourth quarter, but he's hurt because he doesn't want to win. God, I fucking hate LeBron James. This LeBron James to Jordan, this is what I'm trying to ask you guys for, like, watching all these new wrestlers.
Because
people, like, want him to be Jordan, but deep down they know that it was more fun to watch Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LeBron will never be Jordan, even if he's better at basketball. It's not going to be – see? He just missed that layup on purpose, and this guy ruined it. Anyway, so I feel like no one's ever going to be Hulk Hogan. Maybe I'm wrong because I haven't seen these new guys yet. But
there'll be some that come close, but they're not going to be the same as Hogan. But there'll be different versions, different flavors, as some may say. All right, anything else before we wrap up this show?
This was definitely the best crowd reaction at the end.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd finally got
into it. Oh, so what did you think
of
Hogan?
It's like the Macho and Hogan together. It's like people love those guys.
You know? What did you think of Hogan, though, helping him? Do you think it diminished Savage's big moment?
Yeah, because when the heels win, they kind of do the same thing and grows all over Jesse, and all of a sudden Savage wins the tournament because of a chair.
I think he justifies it that Andre came in. Like, you know, he was just negating Andre. But
that he directly led to the loss, though, is kind of different.
It's always bothered me, but looking at it now, when you watch the whole story unfold, like, DiBiase and Andre really fucked Hogan bad. So he's almost justifiable in what he does, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they really effed him. Like, they took his title away, and he shouldn't have lost it. So it's always bugged me the way it went down, but this time, after watching everything in detail really unfold, it's
tough.
Like,
it's tough to think like that, though, because you sound like the people who are like, well, you know, Michigan beat Ohio State, and Ohio State beat Clemson.
No, no. I'm not saying Hogan should be champion. I'm saying he has a right for payback, right? It's like...
Yeah, but Hogan... like
Walter
lost,
White, right?
He lost the tournament.
Yeah.
All right, so
no, I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about at the main event.
Yeah.
They really screwed him out of the title. So, like, he kind of... He owes fucking DiBiase, because DiBiase paid and fucked him out of his belt. So he is just getting direct revenge in the title match on DiBiase.
Yeah, but now he's just stooping to his level, as
yeah, I know.
Every 80 sitcom teacher would say.
All right. The posing was iconic, though. Savage hoisting Liz up.
Yeah, and Hogan with his casual post-match red pants.
Yes.
I love that he has a different outfit. It's like, oh, I'm not fighting, guys.
Yeah, I'm just here to watch.
I'm not fighting. I'm just here to support. He's in my red pants.
What did you think of him taking the poster out of the crowd and, like, holding it up?
What was the poster?
I think it was a Savage. Was it a Savage poster? He was, like, parading around with it.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I might have turned it off before that.
Okay.
Because nothing happens, right? They're on the ring. And
right, that's it. They parade around. All right. So,
WrestleMania 4.
In the books.
I got a whole year before 5 comes around.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough one.
So what did you think? Did you enjoy the whole show?
Yeah, it was a good show. I thought the tournament would be like tough to watch and too daunting, but they really figured it out with the DQs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was good matchups, good finish. The crowd was okay in some spots. Maybe not the best crowd, but...
What was your favorite match on the night?
My favorite match of the night... Well, it's hard not to say Hogan Andre.
Yeah? Even over Savage DiBiase?
Yeah, I mean, it was still... I was still watching it and just, like, transfixed by these amazing dudes. It's kind of sad to see how it ended, but...
Right.
At least I didn't have to see something dumb like DiBiase beat Hogan.
What was your worst match of the night? Mine was Warrior Hercules.
Worst match, close second, I'd say Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Rude was a pretty good match. I like that one. Probably the Gang and Bam Bam.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
They had so much potential. You had like 1,000 pounds of guy in there.
Right. Yeah, it could have been more. All right. Is this, where would you rank this for the Manias behind 3?
I think 3 was probably a little better.
Yeah. You probably don't remember 1 and 2 as well.
They had the little, little thing that drove him into the ring.
That's right. Yeah,
that puts it over the edge.
Did we watch all of 1 and 2, or were we still just doing matches at that point?
Yeah, I don't think we watched the whole thing. That was something. It was a cage match, Bundy.
Yeah, I think we just watched like a selection of matches.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll have to decide. So there's a pretty big gap between WrestleMania and SummerSlam. We'll decide what we're going to watch next. There is a show in between called WrestleFest. Not the WCF version, but the WWF version. It was a stadium show in St. Louis. Milwaukee. It was in Milwaukee. At the Brewer Stadium, outdoor. So it wasn't a pay-per-view, but it was like a pretty big show, and they released it on VHS. I don't know if it's on the WWE Network. If it isn't, I can find it and send it to you. So we may do that, because that's kind of like the precursor to SummerSlam, which is the first SummerSlam, 88. So, all right, so that's it. Any final thoughts?
You know... I'm reading Don't Kill Myself books.
It's a strong ending. All right. We'll see who gets the reference. All right. So Jeff Learns Wrestling. We'll be back at someday if Jeff doesn't kill himself. It was a fun return. We went long, talked a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I wish we could keep talking.
Well, we probably will. We just won't be airing.
I wish we could just go to Breaking Bad episode 1.
And just talk about it?
And then just go to, like, I don't know, King Jerry Lawler. Start doing some Jerry Lawler matches. I'm sorry, like, this thing flew by.
Yeah.
There's,
you gotta watch more stuff.
We've been trying to do WrestleMania 4 for months now, and now it's over.
Yeah.
Now it's over, and it's never coming back.
That's it.
I just have to live now, like, post WrestleMania 4. 4.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
You'll be fine. You'll say the same thing every year. All right, check out everything else. Wrestling Warzone, check that out if you haven't yet. That's me and Chad. Place to Be Podcast, of course. Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Jeff Lynn's Wrestling has its own Facebook page you can like. Put updates on there.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Facebook, I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but I personally am not on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go back, but I need some convincing.
Okay.
I don't really have any reasons why I should be on.
All right. If you people want Jeff on Facebook to engage with him on the wrestling show, let us know.
In the meantime, send your comments to the page and to Justin, and he will text them to me.
Yes, that's what we do. Screen. I think even when you had Facebook, I would send them to you anyway.
That's true.
Okay, we're out. This was fun. Enjoy Hop Sings. That's all I got. Hope
Bye.
You learned a lot. Oh, do you want to keep doing this?
Keep doing what?
The show. You want to keep learning wrestling?
This show?
Do you want to keep learning wrestling? You want to continue on your journey? I ask you every episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll do it.
I'm in, baby.
All right, we're out. And I'm hungry like the wolf. I've got a new line here to sort it in right. Well, and I wind up after you. I'm out of the life and running inside. And I'm hungry like the wolf. Hungry like the wolf. Skitter be to lady one. Like the wolf. Scooter be beep 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 beep. I'm on a hunt, I'm after you. Smell like a sound, I'm lost and I'm found. And I'm hungry like a wolf. Got a blue line, it's just what it ever rhymes. I'm on a wine, I'm after you. I'm out of the line, we juice just like wine. And I'm hungry like a wolf. Sound, I'm on a hunt, I'm after you. Smell like a sound, I'm lost in the crowd. And I'm hungry like a wolf. Got a blue line, it's just what it ever rhymes. I'm on a wine, I'm after you. I'm hungry like the wolf. Oh yeah, I'm hungry. Hungry like the wolf. Oh, I'm hungry, baby. Was that too much? I never know.